Government and private sector clashes are all but inevitable, and the difference between the physical and digital mediums blurred even further. Where the Army previously maintained an online game serving as an interactive means of evaluating individuals for military service, this year saw the attempt at soliciting by the power of personality and mock giveaways. This latest experiment was short-lived as people exercised their constitutional rights. It's another week in the wide world of gaming as your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki bring you this and the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back yet again with episode number 829 of our program for this July the, what date are we on here? I lost the 26th, thank you, July 26th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as always, say hello to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hey!
Hi, how are you?
I'm all new and all different, and on pain meds.
Yes, you are looking lovely over there. Thank you.
People seem to like my black wig from the other week, so I have a different black wig this week that I like better. With a black flower, you can't really see it because it's black.
Sorry, guys, if you're watching on Twitch, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And if you are watching, I'm changing some shots on the fly here because I thought I made. There we go. That's the shot I wanted. There we go. I made a new little layer there, and it fell all the way to the bottom of my list. And I was like, where did it go? I can't find it. Okay, now I can see the episode number and everything like I usually can. Phew. That's the fun of doing a live show, is that sometimes you have technical difficulties and things that happen. So come watch us be a train wreck live. And you also get to see Dark Sakura's wig. All right.
And expensive makeup. You know, yeah. I did do that.
Yes, of course. Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Pretty good.
So I see tonight the selection for your virtual background is some Katamari Damacy?
Yeah, because I couldn't think of anything else.
You know what? There's no problem with Katamari. Katamari is always a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Now, those of you that are watching on Twitch are probably like, wait a minute, things look a little different. There's another person there. What's going on? Yes, so the whole reason why I've got like new layers and shots on and things on Twitch is because I wanted to invite on a guest host to kind of join us at the beginning of tonight's show. And he's been on the show before. It's been a little while, though. So say hello, everybody, to Mr. Video Game Realness, or Delvin.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
Wonderful, fantastic, happy to be on the show again.
Yeah,
virtually.
Congrats on being, I guess, our first like virtual host of sorts, being here at the top of the show with us. Woo!
Yes.
And I see some comments in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. DJ Rama S says, here comes a new podcaster. Fifth Dream says, virtual guest. Yes. Well, here's the thing. So I want to get into tonight's show because, of course, we do talk about video games and gaming culture and the gamer lifestyle every week here on OLR. And Delvin, you and I are in a chat with some other gamers, G-A-Y-M-E-R-S, and you kind of brought up a topic that I thought was really – really interesting. And I was like, oh, I want to talk about that on OLR, but like, I'd be kind of a dick if I stole my friend's topic and then didn't invite him on the show to like share his feelings. So here we are. So,
well, I'm happy to share.
All right. Yes. So tell us a little bit about this thought that you had that you were sharing with others in a chat room.
Well, it's just that, you know, I've been reading comments in multiple, you know, videos, game groups and things like that, which of course, one should never read comments, but you know, the general consensus of what's been shown for both Sony and been shown for Xbox is that, you know, well, they didn't show anything that was next gen, right? And you know, it's really made me think of this conversation. Well, what is next gen? You know, what is the next generation? And it's not following the regular format of previous generations. You know, Nintendo's already essentially started its next generation with the Switch. You know, Sony's paving its traditional path of a new system, throw out the old one. And then there's Microsoft here with this new blurring of the lines and creating a new space of kind of a hybrid of console and PC.
Right. And we're going to get into talking a little bit about the Xbox showcase in a little bit. And I hope you'll stay with us to talk about that, because I know you probably have some feelings on that. But I can say that one big takeaway I had from the Xbox game showcase was that, dang, you guys, Game Pass, that's a deal. Like, the whole thing really read to me as like a giant infomercial for Game Pass. I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt like it wasn't really selling us an Xbox Series X as much as it was selling us on the notion of, hey, y'all, Microsoft makes video games. And if you subscribe to their subscription service, you can play all these games the day they launch, and you don't have to pay like $60 per game anymore. Like, that's kind of what I took away from it. And I don't think it's a bad thing. And I don't necessarily think Microsoft thinks that's a bad thing, because they set the stage several times. We're showing games. We're not showing Xbox Series X. We know we're going to be getting another thing in August or maybe later on that's probably going to set the stage better as to why do you need Xbox Series X specifically. Now you also know the games. So to kind of follow your comment about like Microsoft's kind of blurring the lines, you're right. They didn't try to sell me a Series X this week, I feel like. They tried to sell me Game Pass, which is a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the other comments that some people have had is like, you know, well, I don't need to get a Series X because, there's nothing exclusive for the Series X coming out for the first couple of years. So I don't need a Series X. I'll just stick with my Xbox. And, you know, a lot of people are saying it and not really even hearing themselves in what they're saying, that, you know, they're saying it as like it's a bad thing. Like, I'm not going to buy the new console. I'm just going to play the games on my old console. And it's like, that's what Microsoft wants you to do.
Right.
You know, they want to create this new path where you don't throw away your old system just because the new one has come out. And, you know, that's something that PC gaming has had, you know, just because a new game comes out doesn't mean that you need a new PC. You may not be able to play it at its full capability, but you're able to play it maybe on the lowest settings, and maybe that's okay for some people. And some people want, you know, NVIDIA 2080 Ti highest graphic capability video card.
Right. Which is fine, because this is what PC gaming, and when I say PC, I mean Mac as well, because also phone gaming, you know, this has been the way those things have worked forever, right? Like, obviously, I'm a huge fan of Pokemon Go, right? I've talked about that game an awful lot, and I think we all generally know, like, Pokemon Go works really, really well on the newest iPhone and the newest Android. It'll run on an iPhone 6 or, you know, the Android equivalent from those years. It'll run on those things. Does it run as well? Does it do the AR stuff? You know, probably not. But you still pretty much get the same experience for the most part. But it does work better on the newer technology. And now we're seeing that with consoles, which is very disruptive because we're not used to that. Like, we're very used to thinking of the next generation of gaming as more teraflops, right? More bytes, more bits, right? It's 8-bit. No, it's 16-bit. No, it's 32 kind of bit, 32X. It's 64-bit. What do you call a Dreamcast? Is that 128? I don't know, but it's more, you know?
Yeah, and I also think that in terms of, you know, console gaming as it is, we've kind of really – we're hitting a plateau in terms of what, you know, when you think of the generational leap from PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2, more graphics, you know, and then PlayStation 2 to 3, more graphics, 3 to 4, more graphics. We're kind of hitting a plateau in terms of how much further we can go graphically to wow people into buying games.
Well, look at the reception to the new Halo game. Right. Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but I think we can generally talk about that Halo game actually received some kind of negative critiques online for looking like an old generation game, for looking like something that we could have played on an Xbox 360. I guess I didn't walk away with those same feelings. I wasn't quite as critical. You know, the YouTubers went in there and analyzed every frame and was like, well, you see here at 8:43 on the 23rd frame, you can see some texture popping in here. And this is proof that Microsoft is a fraud. Watch my 3-hour YouTube analysis breaking this down. You're laughing because it's fucking true.
Yes, that's right. It's 100% why I'm laughing.
But yeah, I mean, like, to me, I didn't walk away with such a negative feeling. I kind of looked at that and went, oh, yeah, it looks pretty. Yeah, I could probably play this on Xbox One. Maybe it'll just not be quite as smooth, but it'll be fine. But I like that it kind of looks like the old Halo. And, you know, back when I was really into the series in the first couple games and so forth, that's kind of what I took from it. But and the reason why I bring all that up is because, like, Delvin, you're saying, people are used to it's got to be bigger, it's got to be faster, it's got to be more powerful. But some would say that Microsoft did not rise to that when they showed the new Halo. Does that mean they're a flop? That's a hard no for me. I think they still did a very good job with that conference.
Well, I think, again, I think it comes down to what people are traditionally accustomed to. And I think we as console gamers have been accustomed to new system, better graphics, more flops, you know, ray tracing, 4K, 60F, like we've become accustomed to things are going to look visually better the next time around. But I think what Microsoft really has done here and has taken a page out of Nintendo's book that has shown, you know what, you can make a console that isn't as graphically capable and it sells a ton. Let's take a look at the Wii. Let's take a look at the Nintendo 3DS versus the Vita, and now the Switch versus both consoles. You know, well, not that the Switch is outselling the PS4, but it's selling really well. So I think that, you know, again, Microsoft is in the respect to Halo, kind of taking that page where it's like, let's just make the game really good and, you know, market Game Pass. And have that option for people who want to have better graphics to get the Series X to play on their PC and things like that.
Yeah. Going to chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. SheHulk10 says, we are kind of at the end of technology game, graphic wise. At least, yeah, for now. You know, we've had a long running joke here on OLR that everything is one step closer to the holodeck, right? Everything in gaming is one step closer to the holodeck. And I kind of think for now, we've hit as far as we can go. Yes, there is literal holographic technology and things out there, and one could say, oh, VR or HoloLens. But you know what? For whatever reason, gaming is not going there right now. Maybe in 10 years, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't necessarily mean that with VR, because obviously the PlayStation VR has done very well. But my mind is going like HoloLens and the literal interpretation of like the holodeck. Obviously, I think we've kind of like hit a limit here. So anyway, back to what we're like really talking about is that, yeah, we've kind of hit like this plateau with graphics and so forth. So, and I guess this is a question for everybody, for the chat room, for you guys. What is the next generation of gaming? What do we expect from the next generation of gaming now that graphics and sound and all that, we kind of reasonably believe we've hit our limits? So what is the next generation of gaming? And Delvin, I'll pick on you first because you brought this topic to us.
Well, I think everyone is kind of paving their own path in terms of the big three, so to speak. Nintendo has already, you know, dipped out of the, you know, console generational race. You know, they've shown that they can't compete in the same space in a Sony Microsoft world. So they dipped out, they created their own space. They've created now this hybrid home portable system where they're more focused on just making good games. So they've created their own space. And I think that Sony and Microsoft, you know, previous generation were, you know, battling it out. And I think Microsoft just realized, you know what? This is pointless. Fighting for, you know, because I think we were getting to a point where it was just fighting for third-party games, getting windows of exclusivity, you know, and then, you know, trying to sell your first party games to lure people over to your console. But at the end of the day, most people were going to So I think Microsoft was just like, you know what, this is just not working. And so now they're creating their own path. Quite frankly, I don't even think their next console, their next offering is Series X. They're selling you Game Pass. Game Pass is their next generational leap. They're offering you a service. They're offering you a way to play next-gen games however you choose. And I think xCloud will tie into that down the road and things like that. And then Sony's just going the traditional route because they're like, you know what? It works for us. We get all the big third-party games, so they're just going to continue that. And I think this generation will really show which method works.
Right. And let me call my other co-hosts because you know, I'm curious what you guys think, and that there is no right answer to this because it's what is the next gen for you? What is this next generation games for you? Dark Sakura, I'm going to pick on you because I'm dying to know your opinion, especially because you're kind of the retro queen here on OLR. You know, you are a very knowledgeable on the retro, and you come from you know what I mean. Like your mindset and a lot of the games you play are in that. You know, when games were more bits and more things like that. And we were, so I'm very curious for you what the next generation.
Are you calling me old?
No, I'm not calling you old. I'm calling you well educated on your gaming history.
Okay.
So, and a little old. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Seriously.
But I can never tell because of your fierce makeup job. No, but what's the next gen of gaming for you?
The next, what would truly be a next generation would have to be a true evolution. It would have to go beyond the standard console, new console that does this, new console that does that, bleh. You know, they need to do something. I need to not elbow my mute button. They need to do something that is a true innovation. They need to take something that people will not expect and bring it into the modern age. I don't think it's going to be anything like bringing holograms into our home or anything crazy like that, or another console that's just going to, you know, like I said before, do it's got 50 bajillion teraflops of floppiness. You know, I think that it's time to take, number one, to get back to what makes games good, and then number two, to find an innovative way to distribute them that is unexpected. You have to, it's not just a matter of surprise, it's a matter of delight. You have to bring about this enthusiasm in people. It's this, basically for all of us older gamers especially, you need to bring back the joy of our childhood with this. That first giddy thought we had when we opened our NES under the tree, you know, if you do that thing, you know, the first feeling we had when we found a Mortal Kombat 2, you know, being beta tested somewhere, that was great. You know, they're missing that same joy that we had back in the day. And I'm not saying, mm-hmm. Oh, it was better back then. Meh, get off my lawn. Meh. But I'm saying that they need to bring the heart back into it and then innovate it. It's those two things that are, I think, what should come back in the next generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nintendo's been doing it, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. Nintendo's got it right. But no one else is willing to innovate. They just want to stay on that same hard edge and don't want to bring the love into it. They're like, oh, well, we're just going to bring out the niche things to make a few people happy here and there, but we're going to keep pushing all of this triple-A bullshit that we know is going to sell. It's mm-hmm. all the bottom line for them. And for Nintendo, yeah, of course they got a bottom line to look at, but for the most part, they're looking at what keeps the games fun, what makes them fun, what gives them heart.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting you bring up the gaming's heart. My answer is not that dissimilar from yours, but this particular point is really interesting to me because I do think one thing that has kind of defined the last couple of generations, probably starting with the Xbox 360, PS3, but really stepping up in this latest generation, is the rise of independent gaming and the ability for more independent creators to get their artwork out there. And as we see, you know, it's a coincidence that as we're moving into this next generation of gaming, we're also seeing gigantic social uprisings going on between the Black Lives Matter movement, between increased visibility for LGBTQIA, between the hashtag MeToo and how that's been impacting the games industry. And I think you absolutely are going to see that reflected. So you talk about like the heart, you're going to see that reflected in the actual games, the actual content of what we see in the next generation. And I think what we've seen in some of these early reveals, such as, you know, some very varied protagonists and so forth within not just Microsoft's event, but the Sony event as well, I think kind of speaks to that. Am I right, you think? Or on the right track?
I think so. But the other thing, too, is that along the same lines that you're saying, too, I think we've definitely seen video games now as a valid form of protest.
Mm-hmm. Or art.
And I think that this is all something that maybe the big players want to shy away from, but at the same time, they have to accept that it's an inevitability. For example, we had the Hong Kong protesters in Animal Crossing. We now have a slew of... I mean, if you just go on those little code sites for the Able Sisters, you'll find plenty of Black Lives Matter. You'll find trans apparel. Our friend Marissa made quite a few things, and I've got one of them hanging in my shop.
Or Loki had a story last week about how they were protesting in Red Dead, dressing up in clown outfits to protest the fact that Red Dead wasn't being updated. So it's like there's and we might kind of laugh at, you know, oh, that's more of like a silly protest. But at the same way, it's like that ability to protest is finding its way into gaming, which I find fascinating.
Okay, Mass Effect 3.
I guess, but, yeah, there's that too.
But the other thing with this too, though, is that with the pandemic going on now, this is also going to affect what's happening with the next generation, which is why we're seeing, I think, so much of a burst in online and cloud-based gaming and, you know, things that aren't going to require you to leave your house to go venture into a store. On top of that, though, the next generation, the way everything goes, it's going to affect the way video game industry does their business. We're going to see the big chain stores go. We're really going to have a resurgence of the mom and pops, of the trading sites, of different things like that. So when I think of next generation for gaming, I am not necessarily thinking of a console or a company. I'm trying to look at it holistically. All of these factors are what's going to play into what we get at home.
And as much as this pandemic situation has absolutely sucked and there's not a lot of good things to say about it, you know, the art that will come from it, which includes video games, is going to be something. You know, not to be too silly, but there's a lot of hype online on Twitter and stuff. Oh my gosh, Taylor Swift surprise put out an album. Well, do you know why she had the time to make an entire album and surprise release it? Because she was really fucking bored.
Because
she,
right?
She was,
and
really
she ran out of
bored.
X's to write about. I mean. Another thing too, and this is just going a little bit more into the social aspect of the next gen. You were talking about, you know, about trolls and everything, I believe, but I think that we're going to start seeing a lot more backlash from the marginalized within the gaming community. And I think we're going to, and whoever is going to be putting out the next consoles, no matter where they are, there's going to be the online element to it. And they are going to be held accountable. I mean, we've got all these people who are right now in the fire because they were misogynistic shits or had, you know, done all kinds of other atrocious things, as I was trying to get out. But I think that all of this, I think we're going to have to see protections built in on the next generation, you know, again, to protect that heart. Mm-hmm. It needs to be safe for everybody. Everyone's going to need to have a good place to go and play. And little do a lot of people realize that women are legitimately, by the numbers, 50% of the gaming market right now.
Sure.
And there's no way to ostracize us. It can't happen. You know, you've got people, you have black people, brown people, people of all nationalities, of all color schemes of the rainbow, all sexualities, all genders, just across the board. And I think that in whatever's going to happen with those systems, whatever's going to happen with moderation online for any of that, they're going to have to be accepting that this world is changing without them, and they better fucking change with it.
Games are for everyone. I've said it a lot here on this show.
Especially me.
All right. I want to make sure we get everybody. Loki.
Sorry.
No, it was very well said. Loki, next, what's the next gen for you?
It's going to be exactly the same as it has been this gen. No, actually, so they're going to – I think that there's not really anything different. You're going to have consoles pushing better graphics because they have, you know, more streamlined pathways they can do, render more complex things because now they have more power. Plus, they don't have the latency from accessing physical drives. You're going to see new ways to purchase content with, you know, the Games Pass kind of business model. You have streaming services trying to kind of take up that aspect with Google Stadia, which is totally going to fail. And then, I don't know, like, then you have more of a traditional sense with, like, even Sony. But they're still trying to do their thing, too, with PlayStation Now. Honestly, I wasn't really disappointed in the graphics. We're talking about like a showcase of stuff that's coming out several months away, and you don't expect the graphics to be incredibly polished already. I know everyone online was like saying, oh, well, Halo looked like it was kind of not looking as good, but then they uploaded the trailer later that was running, I guess, in engine or something like that on the hardware, and it looked a little bit better. So I still think it's very early for that type of stuff, and there are some games that, you know, not necessarily the art style has to push the game itself. I think Halo's basically known for its good gameplay, and that's what people are going to be coming in for. Yeah, it's an Xbox system, and they're expecting fancy graphics. Well, you know, there's Forza Motorsports for that. There's going to be a lot of other games that are going to be pushing graphics. I don't know. I think people are making a big deal about it because there's not a lot of information to go off of right now, so everybody has to take their stance to, you know, keep it competitive in this, you know, video game system war or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I don't see like physical retail going away. I certainly don't see mom and pops taking over because that business model is not profitable at all. They have a hard enough time when the industry is working well and when it was more physical media versus digital. And now that it's switching kind of towards digital, it's not getting any easier for them. So I don't know. I just will have to wait and see what happens. All I know is like there's games I'm excited for. I saw more of those types of games during the Xbox presentation this last time. Maybe Sony will have more the next presentation they have, or Microsoft will have even more the next time they show off some more stuff. Because they still have more coming, according to their tease. So I don't know. And as far as Nintendo innovating, they better be innovating because they're a little bit behind in a lot of things. Online being one of them, even some of the game design stuff that they're doing. And I understand.
You know where they're not behind? Sales. So,
you know, and that's fine that they do have it. It's like the Apple market, though. They have a lot of people that are dedicated fans of their franchises, and that's good for them. And they'll keep them going for a while, but eventually when the next shiny thing comes along that's able to take those fans away, and that could be a very long time or impossible sometimes, then they're going to move to that. But right now, I know that they're not really being forced to innovate because they're doing well as it is. But there's a lot of flaws that could be fixed, a lot of things that could be better. And especially if like a model like Games Pass takes off, they're going to have to look to adapt to that. And unfortunately, being that they just kind of got into online, and I got to say, like, having used like a lot of the online stuff now on their platform, it's very clunky, and it shouldn't be clunky in the year 2020. I mean, they should be polished and ready to go, not just getting into this. I mean, I get it. That's the thing, is if they're successful in their own right, then they're not going to push to innovate like this. And I don't really consider the Switch too innovative, considering that, yeah, it's a portable system that can dock to a TV. Cool. That itself is not really innovative as far as the way I play those games. And the Wiimotes, or not the Wiimotes, the Switch Joy-Cons are very similar to the Wiimotes, but they're not even utilized to that extent. They kind of force a lot of that stuff in there with the motion controls. But I don't know. There's games that are on it that are good, but they're kind of in their own ecosystem right now. Mm-hmm. So,
I think
it's just going to keep staying the same.
I'm gonna try to keep my answer short, which might shock you, but here it is. And I'm not trying to be that guy on social media that quotes the movie The Matrix, but I'm going to, because I think for the next generation of games, there is no spoon. And I think that's kind of where we're going, is that there is no spoon. And what I mean by that, like, we talk a lot about how, like, the gaming industry follows a very similar path to the movie industry. And I think we very often forget about that, is that gaming and movies, are more tied together than they are different. In fact, to kind of follow up something I really wanted to say to Loki's comment about, like, Nintendo and Apple. Well, you know another name that gets thrown in with those guys all the time? Disney. And when it comes to the film industry and entertainment, Disney kind of does their own thing. They appeal to a family audience, but it touches a lot of adults too. And they've been very successful with that model, and they kind of exist. They have their own little land and their own little world that you can go to. Well, you know, when there's not a pandemic going on. But it's a very, you know, cute place for all that to exist. So my point is, and when you look at movies – movies have gone through a lot of progression as well, right? Well, like when we first started movies in the theater, and then it started coming to VHS and beta. And I think before that really were the giant discs, the video discs. And then it was DVD. And then it was Blu-ray. And then it was Netflix. And now
there
it's
were
all
video
these...
discs, and that turned into LaserDiscs.
What were the gigantic freaking discs that were right around the time of the early tapes?
LaserDiscs.
No, before LaserDiscs, they actually had video discs that came in what looked like a huge-ass floppy.
Yes.
That looked like the size of an album. Those were video discs, which was the precursor to LaserDiscs.
Okay, that's it. Video discs. That's what I was trying to think of. Okay, so but anyway, y'all see what I'm saying. And then for the longest time, you know, the movie industry was like, oh my gosh, this is going to kill our industry. Nobody's going to go see a movie in the theater anymore. And that hasn't happened. And even with this pandemic, we're seeing more like things that are released on demand and in your home. And is that going to kill theaters? Probably not. If anything kills theaters, it'll be this whole pandemic situation. But fingers and toes crossed that we see the other side of this and have some sense of normalcy in the next couple of years. I would bet that we're going to have a lot of things that are still at home and in the theater. But anyway, now the movie industry and the TV industry is so like digital and on demand and services and things like Netflix and Disney Plus, and that's where a lot of that is going. And so my answer for gaming is that I think, and this is what Microsoft I think is really doing right, is that they see this coming. And so that's why they're starting to sow the seeds with xCloud and, you know, the game. Game Pass is the way to get your games, and the console is just one way to manifest it. The console is one type of Netflix player if that's what you want to do. But at the end of the day, it's really going to be the games. And to some extent, I think Google Stadia also has this. The problem with Google Stadia is that it's Google's first foray really into games, and they don't have the knowledge, experience, or things behind it that are going to elevate it in the way that it needs. And it feels very dated already before it's actually come out. But the technology itself is actually really fascinating. So I say there is no spoon because I think eventually there's not going to be a box anymore. And I think Microsoft's probably going to be the first to get there. What do you think upon hearing all that, Delvin, all of our answers?
Well, one thing I wanted to add is that one of the things I think Microsoft is trying to go for is install base. And I think when we look at 360 versus PS3, you know, they were very neck and neck in terms of the numbers. And then when we go to PS4 and Xbox One, they lost out on a lot of, you know, exclusives and third-party games because they didn't have the install base. It's the same thing that Nintendo goes through. And I think this is Microsoft's way of kind of changing that narrative where, yes, we have the numbers and, you know, they're changing the way in which you achieve that. You know, normally it was just the more consoles you sell means the more people that can play your games, but they've now changing that, you know, they're going that blue ocean strategy like Nintendo was, where we're increasing our install base by your computer, by eventually xCloud, you know, on your Samsung smart TV eventually and everything. And then what they'll be able to go to third parties and say is, we have 200 million Xbox users via PC, blah, 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 whereas Sony will only have PlayStation 5 or Nintendo will only have the Switch. So that's kind of where I think Microsoft is trying to change the shift and their way to increase their foothold in the console gaming space.
I am very curious what you guys in our chat room think over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I'll try to get a few comments. I see you guys have said many things. It's scrolling so fast, I almost can't get to the comments in time because we're having such a great discussion here on air. But I am watching you guys. You guys are having great discussion. And I also, I have to acknowledge, I know we don't usually acknowledge the biddies and subs, but I have to acknowledge the hype train y'all got up to like level 4 or something. That's pretty awesome. So thank you guys very much for that. But I want to point out also, Bobby was kind of piggybacking on a comment I said about how like there will always be a place for movie theaters. A big thing that's starting to happen right now is pop-up drive-through theaters, or not drive-through, drive-in theaters. You know, I happen to live not far from an actual drive-in theater that's thriving now in this day and age. But now we're seeing like Walmart parking lots turning into drive-in theaters. Heck, there was a big deal this weekend over at the old miniature golf course, the Mineshaft here locally. A bunch of the Burning Man crowd went out and turned it into a drive-through art festival. So you actually got in your car and you kind of like drove from station to station, and there were different art installations there, which I thought was a really cool idea. Sadly, I was preoccupied and I didn't get to see it, but I thought it was a neat idea. So it's really interesting to see how like society is kind of like adapting to that. So the reason why I bring all that up is that it also demonstrates for some people, there's always going to still be a need for a box. I don't think the box necessarily always just totally goes away. But I think definitely the what goes into that box and all that is definitely a changing system. SG100 Matt in our chat says, on the theater point earlier, I think theaters were hurting before the pandemic, but they were starting to innovate. Nicer seats, serving alcohol, and serving real food. I think gaming needs to continue innovating. Absolutely.
Yeah, they need to start serving alcohol and real food in gaming as well. Where's my slash pizza?
Slash pizza. Great minds think like us.
I love it.
That would be hilarious.
Let's see. Now, Phoenix in chat says, at least in the USA, internet speeds will kneecap streaming-based games for a while to come. A 100-gigabyte connection is still not cheap, and data caps will kill it too. That's a very good point as well. Then some folks talking about where different drive-ins are being set up in their towns. Yeah, they're all starting to pop up everywhere. It's fascinating. So
I was going to say, they go back to what you were saying with Disney and how the game industry kind of likes to copy them. They already are. In fact, I would say Disney's copying the game industry in the fact that they keep, instead of innovating with brand new original films, they keep churning out sequel after sequel and remake after remake. So it's a little bit of the, you know, movie industry now copying the games industry. I don't know. What's nice, though, to see, it, as you mentioned, with the indie games getting highlighted nowadays as a good source of entertainment, look at the whole Xbox, you know, game demos at home thing for their event they did. It was all indie titles. I mean, aside from the remake of Destroy All Humans, but it's all indie titles that you can check out and play. So that was pretty cool that that's being highlighted, and we did. Not too long ago, we even had the Steam Indie Expo thing that they did as well a couple times, where you can play indie games as well, and it's all being highlighted, these brand new creators, and even a lot of you know, the stuff that's being shown at the Xbox Games Conference, and not so much the Sony, but they had a lot of indie titles being focused on, because people are kind of getting sick of the stuff, and there's a lot of these AAA companies, they're saying, oh, this game type's not. Single player is dead. It's all about this online, you know, persistent environment that is going to be popular, like Destiny and stuff. Whereas people are like, no, we disagree with you. We're going to create single player games, and they're extremely successful because some of these companies are really short-sighted and they go where the money is the easiest for them.
Sia Tabiri in chat says, anyone have thoughts about on how it might parallel the new paradigm arising in TV? Perhaps the services will become less hardware-based, but would that also require a further variety of subscriptions? And my answer to that is probably. I think it's guaranteed that by the end of this next generation, Sony has their own response to Microsoft Game Pass. Technically, and I bet some of you are going to jump at this, they kind of already have something. They have PlayStation Now. But PlayStation Now is also based on a lot of older products, and it's different because you're streaming it and the technology isn't quite there. But I think Sony's going to try to launch something that is going to kind of really try to compete with Game Pass. I think that's a foregone conclusion. They're going to have to.
Yeah, and like Phoenix 7726 says, you know, a lot of the major companies are already going that way, like EA, Ubisoft, you know. There's a lot of these companies that are already piecemealing their own like digital streaming stuff where, okay, you can get our titles by paying us, you know, some money separate from that you would pay for Games Pass or PlayStation Now or something like that. Kind of wish Nintendo would jump on board with that, but I guess we got some free Nintendo games.
I think Nintendo would be open to that idea. But I think one of Nintendo's biggest struggles is not having the infrastructure means in which to properly set that up. I think it's not that it's an excuse. There's obviously means in which they can go about doing that. But I think they like to keep things in-house and not having the infrastructure to run their own servers. It's why their online is still trash. the idea of a subscription service, I'm sure they want to be on board for it, but they just don't necessarily have the infrastructure means to do it.
Just team up with Microsoft, put their games on their platform. Microsoft can back the infrastructure. Win-win, everybody.
Hey, I'm all for that.
Delvin, this has been a phenomenal kickoff topic. It's been going on a while, though. We're almost an hour into the show, and technically I only have Jamie till 7:30 about, so I have to kind of move on for time. But thank you so much. This has been a great kickoff topic and discussion. Did you get what you wanted out of it? A good discussion about next gen?
Yes.
I think it was great. No, it was great. Let's talk briefly, because I did want you to stick around, and let's talk about so what the next gen looks like in the more immediate term and the Xbox Game Showcase. So, Loki, if you wouldn't mind, you might have to step on the gas a little bit with what we saw at this event and just hit some of the highlights. But what happened at the Xbox Game Showcase?
We saw Halo Infinite. So there was that, and people were, you know, like, hey, that's Halo, but it doesn't look as good as I was hoping it would be. And so, you know, there's those people as well. But it looks Halo. Looks
I thought it was fine. Like it I'm into good. It.
Yeah, I'm fine. There's some cool other like indie trailers as well. Like this game called Echo Generation. It kind of has this Earthbound type of feel to it. And it's like voxel-based, so it looked pretty cool. Hello Neighbor 2. I know my kids are excited about that one. This one I know Jamie's probably pretty excited about. Balan Wonderland. Or Wonderworld, I'm sorry. It's the developers behind Sonic and Knights, Yuji Naka and Naoto Oshima. So
that makes me happy.
Sweet. Can't wait about that. State of Decay 3 looked pretty cool. Of course, Forza Motorsports, we got, you know, the car porn stuff for that. Didn't really show much gameplay, but, I mean, it looks pretty.
There's always a racing game to show off the power of the console, always. And, you know, it looks nice. I'm not into the simulation stuff as much as I am the arcade stuff, but it looked pretty.
Yeah. We got a new original game from Rare called Everwild that looked kind of cool. So I'll have to check that out. A new game from Dotnod, which is Tell Me Why. So that the story on that looks kind of interesting as well. Grounded was one that was they showed another trailer for, and I like how Obsidian comes poking fun at themselves with that. You know, if you're waiting for the biggest game in the industry, wait for Cyberpunk, but the smallest game, choose ours. So they have that. They're gonna have that's coming to Xbox preview on July 28th. So
yeah,
right around the corner.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the game. Although I think it's like a Minecrafty type game, or it's like it's Ark Survival but Junior.
I got Pikmin vibes.
Yeah,
it looked cool. So that was pretty neat. The Outer Wilds or Outer Worlds were getting a new expansion. So the Peril on Gorgon, and that looks pretty awesome. And then of course the other thing that Obsidian was teasing is their brand new franchise that they're start, or I'm hoping it's a franchise, but a big open world RPG called Avowed, which is basically, hey, we're Obsidian and we're going to create our own Elder Scrolls Skyrim now. And I'm all for that. It looks great. What else? So they announced that Destiny 2 is coming to Games Pass because it's already everywhere else. Stalker 2 was kind of unexpected, so they showed a trailer for that. Talked a little bit about Hellblade 2. Psychonauts 2, another trailer for that as well, including a song by Jack Black. This game called The Gunk that is supposed to be kind of a next game in Steam World. Tetris Effect is going to be getting an update and is also going to be coming to the Xbox One and Series X with multiplayer as well. A new Warhammer game, Darktide. Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming to the console 2021. So that's pretty sweet. We saw some more like gameplay of The Medium, which looks exactly like Silent Hill would be. And last but not least, they teased us a little bit with Fable. So there's going to be a brand new Fable game, and I'm all for it.
Bobby in chat says, I didn't think Tetris Effect Connected was an update. I thought it was a new game. I believe it's like an enhancement to the base game, and I could be wrong, but I heard it is also coming to PlayStation and the Epic Game Store. It's not going to be exclusive to Microsoft. It's just that it will be a part of Game Pass.
Yeah, it's they're going to be adding multiplayer to the existing game, and it's coming out. It's a free update. Coming next summer. Yeah. I don't know why so far away, but that's what they're doing.
Questbuster in chat says, can't wait for Avowed. It takes place in the same world as the Pillars of Eternity series. Yeah, look pretty hot. So quickly, just to open the floor, what were your impressions overall on the Xbox event? I thought it was a great infomercial for Game Pass, honestly. Like, I was watching this whole thing going, yep, you know what? I'm going to keep my Game Pass subscription. There's a lot of good stuff coming out that I'm going to want to play and stay up on. And so if that was Microsoft's ultimate goal, was to sell Game Pass, cool. They got me. They got me, gal.
I wish we had gotten that rumored announcement that Games Pass is going to replace Xbox Live Gold. I guess we'll have to wait for their next presentation.
Wait for the system presentation. Maybe we'll get that. Delvin, what about you? What were your thoughts?
You know, when I looked at the offerings of what Microsoft showed versus what Sony showed, if, you know, in terms of games, Microsoft showed me more reasons to jump on board with them, whether that be by getting a Series X or, you know, signing up for Game Pass. And I think they just want people to sign up for Game Pass. Ultimately, one of the other things that I did notice and find interesting was the absence of a number after Halo, Forza, and Fable.
Well, yes. Fable, I mean, it's still kind of early, and I don't know if they would necessarily throw a number there. They may just try to reboot the whole thing. Same with Forza. I mean, they'll probably have a number with that. Halo Infinite, I mean, it already has kind of a sort of a number.
I don't think Fable will get a number. I think, and a lot of people are misthinking it's a remake of the original Fable. I think the true subtitle is Molyneux Free Fable. Fable, Molyneux Free. But they can't say that. So this is what it's going to be.
I think it's going to be a reimagining.
Absolutely. And Playground Games, they made Forza Horizon. That, like, revolutionized racing games. So, like, I don't want to set the bar too high, but oops. Like, it's up there. I'm expecting big things from Fable.
And honestly, like, the Game Pass, that's the thing, is when you're looking at, and I know what some of the news coming out of the Xbox conference thing is, that a lot of these exclusive console launch exclusives or whatever aren't necessarily exclusive. Some of them are timed exclusives. Some of them are coming out on PC as well. There's a lot of things, but I mean, you know what? Sony does the same thing with their exclusives as well. So a lot of the stuff that they had was timed exclusives. But when you're looking to differentiate yourself, Games Pass is definitely a good way to do that, because you're basically saying, hey, you know, there's a lot of games coming out, and if you want to play them, you could purchase each one piecemeal, or you could pay, you know, $15 a month and you get them all. I mean, that's not really a hard sell for folks that are probably paying for more than one streaming service at a time as it is. I mean, it's a real easy sell is what it is. So I think that's definitely has an edge over Sony right now, unless they kind of come out and really, you know, do some updates to PlayStation Now, because right now I'm not all down with the constant streaming services with them. I wish I had a way to download their titles, and I wish there's more in there, but we'll have to see how they kind of flesh that out.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I do feel a little sad that this means we won't be getting a new Forza Horizon for a while, but I get it. We're getting a new Forza Motorsport in its place. Yeah, and there's also, I mean, there could be multiple teams within Playground Games. That is, you know, a possibility. But also, I do believe we heard that Forza Horizon 4, I don't think it was in there, but like a supplemental press release or a tweet, Forza Horizon 4 is going to get like a Series X boost. So there will be like a version of that game that will play a little better.
That.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to move on with the show and get to some of the other headlines for the week. Delvin, you did such a good job. Thank you for your topic tonight and being our first guest host for the kickoff topic.
No problem at all. Feel free to have me on whenever you need.
I know you probably weren't planning on sitting here for an hour, but thank you so much for doing so anyway. Do you have anything to plug? Are you still streaming these days, or what are you up to?
I haven't been streaming much, so... I mean, you can definitely go follow my channel, which is twitch.tv/VGRealness. But no streaming has been happening there as of lately. But definitely go follow, and I'll be back soon.
When that Phantasy Star 2 New Genesis thing comes out, might be a thing.
she screamed when that.
I let out a little like as well. So it's pretty, yeah.
I will leave with this last point regarding Phantasy Star Online 2. When I saw it, it looked like Xenoblade Chronicles X was meant to be played.
Ooh.
With, like, you know, the massive worlds, online, multiplayers, people actually in your party going and, you know, exploring the world. That's what it looked like to me, so it got me excited.
All right. There's a lot to be excited about in gaming right now. You know, the next gen of games is exciting. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, Delvin, thank you so much for being here tonight. Take care.
Good night.
All right. Good night. All right. We are going to talk quickly about our gaming weeks. So let's get into how was your gaming week. And we'll start with Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
I played Animal Crossing, some Words with Friends. I played that weird word circle game that I'm kind of into right now. Hold on, there's something else on here that I was playing. Actually, no, not really, because I've been kind of back into reading comics. I've rediscovered my love of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I am reading the entire IDW series now. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I have games to play, but comics. So, c'est la vie.
All right, Loki, how was your gaming week?
So I played a little bit of Paper Mario, the Origami King still, so I've been going through that quite a bit, really enjoying that game. I played a little bit of Animal Crossing because everybody's been bugging me to play it, so I finally got my first the first bit of my house, and just going through that. And, of course, Minecraft most of the week as well. Just doing more things than that, building more automated farms. My son now wants me to build him a modern mansion across the street. Just one mansion, so it's fun.
Just a little mansion, yeah.
Just a little mansion. It's all good. So I've been gathering resources for that. I built a really cool, like, creeper head door yesterday, so that was kind of fun. It took several hours to get the redstone correct in the Bedrock Edition, because it works very differently than, say, other, you know, the Java Edition stuff. And then a little bit of Orna as well. I haven't been playing as much lately, but I've been making sure to get my wars in each day and doing the gauntlets and stuff like that. So I've been playing a little bit of that. That's
Excellent.
Pretty much it.
All right. My gaming week is has not been quite as varied as previous weeks. I didn't get to experiment with a lot of new games this week. I spent most of the weekend doing Pokemon Go and the Pokemon Go Fest that happened. I did like an impromptu stream with Shane last night on my personal channel. So if you want to hear us talking for like 2 hours about that, you can go over to my personal channel at Rob Roberts on Twitch and check out the archive there. But I will say quickly, because obviously I don't want to just be like, and I'm not going to tell you my thoughts otherwise. The Cliff Notes version, and having done day two as well, the $15, the price tag was a little steep, I think, for what they offered. And I think they did not make very clear what it was you were going to be paying for from the outset. And I think there's going to be an expectation of Niantic in the future. What do free players get? What do everybody get? And what am I really getting for my $15? So people can make a more informed decision. I don't want to be overly negative on it. You know, they've been very challenged with having to change these games on the fly because all their games, you know, with like Ingress and Pokemon Go and so forth, are about bringing people together. And 2020 is the year not to do that with the pandemic going on. So I will give them some slack that like they were really challenged to do that. And I think they've made a lot of great quality of life upgrades to Pokemon Go to make that happen. And they've done some of that with Ingress as well. But I just think at the end of the day, the price tag was too high and it didn't really deliver enough because it wasn't a new area. It didn't feel that new. Sure, there were a couple new Pokemons. There was a quest chain. It got me to do that Team Rocket fighting stuff that I don't like doing, but it was so easy to do today. Like, I had to go through it and get my Shadow Mewtwo and what is it, the Victory L or whatever that thing, the mythical is that you get at the end of it. I had to do all that, and so it got me to do that. So I was cool. I guess I was cool with that. But I think $15 was a little high. I think maybe like $5 would have been awesome. $10 would have been like, okay. But I think $15 was just like a little bit too high. So, and some folks in chat, SGO and her Matt says, I wasn't too crazy about day two. And ActDef says, but day one also had its really good stuff. I did try one new game this week through Game Pass, and that was Ark Survival Evolved, which I'd never played before. I didn't know anything about it. And it was kind of neat, but I had no idea what the hell I was doing because this game doesn't have a tutorial. Like, or there's a lot of screens that you can just like read. But who has time to do that? You want to get in there and you want to play. And so it took me a long time to figure out like, oh, I can like beat up a rock. It's basically Minecraft, but like a little more realistic with this whole like prehistoric kind of, you wake up and you're on this beach naked by yourself and you have to learn to eat. You have to learn to, you know, craft things and survive. And eventually you get to tame the dinosaurs and make the world your own. And it's a cool concept, but like I felt really sloppy and stupid getting through the first hour or so. And I guess maybe that's some people like that. Some people like that kind of challenge. I just want to make maybe like a little more handholding, like Minecraft does this now, and it does it very well. Like, it's like it walks you through making like the base set of tools and understanding what those tools do, and then it turns you loose. And I would have just liked to see a little more of that from Ark, but I don't think it necessarily like ruins the entire game. I definitely have slept on this game otherwise, and I like those kind of like crafting open world games right now, so I'll probably go back to it and try it again and see. So, and Azette says, I've been playing mobile. I love it. I had no idea that it was even like on mobile until you started sharing those screenshots in one of our chats, Azette. But yeah, with Xbox, it's got a nice version on there. And it's weird to play it with a controller, though. Like, I feel like this game was made for phones or PC/Mac because it feels really clunky on a controller. That's the only problem. So. No, my house didn't get burned down by somebody else. I didn't even build a house. I didn't get that far. I didn't know what I was doing. It took me forever just to like realize that like I could like mine a tree for wood, that whole type of thing. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We got a lot of stories to get into tonight. And I know Dark Sakura, sadly, can only stay with us a little longer, though you said your schedule's changing real soon. So we'll get to have you for full shows again, which will be awesome.
That will actually be next Sunday, where I go back to my normal schedule. So I'll be off on Sundays and going in later on Mondays so awesome. I can do a full show again.
All right. Well, while we have you, let's make sure we get some news from you. So why don't you start us off tonight with our first story, Dark Sakura?
Well, we actually have, you know, everything old is new again, right? Well, there has been a very interesting little teaser that's come up. And it was on the official G4 TV Twitter and the Attack of the Show Twitter and the X-Play Twitter, which were all reactivated to tweet this. And it had responses from many people who were on the network before. And so now all of those accounts, the three accounts, say, "We never stopped playing" in their bio. So, yeah, there is a teaser out there teasing the return of G4. There's also the funny thing is that it ends with Pong, which, of course, we know that that's how the channel went out. And we're starting to see, like I said, the hosts, the old hosts are pretty much retweeting and getting in on it. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the network. I think it might be just like some of the shows, but we'll see.
Phoenix7726 in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says, "This announcement gets a 5 out of 5. All right.
I'm down for that, as long as, like, I'm good with it. I hope it comes back and it does well.
It
was out of nowhere, yeah.
I think I have this figured out. I think I Nancy Drew'd this and figured this all out. And I arrived at a very similar conclusion to what Bobby Blackwolf was talking about before us here when he started tonight. And I think what this is all about, I think if you look at who owns G4 still and who owns the rights, it's Comcast Universal. It's one of their products. And there's another thing that Comcast Universal just recently launched they're putting a lot of stock into because they want to be able to compete with everybody else that's launched one of these, and that's Peacock. They're online streaming service. And I think there's a match there. I think if you actually go into Peacock, the streaming service, there's lots of nonstop all day channels you can watch in there. And CBS All Access has this too. You can watch your local CBS station and a couple, I think there's like an Entertainment Tonight channel and a CBS like sports channel. You can watch those all day. There's free apps like Pluto and Tubi where you can watch like TV channels that are just, you know, like old school TV channels. That's what they are. But they're because now it's all on the internet, you have these very niche sort of channels that show very like niche types of programming. So on Peacock, we have like a channel that shows old Saturday Night Live bits all day or old Jimmy Fallon and Tonight Show stuff. So I think G4 is going to fit real nicely right into there. And they might be showing some of the old stuff, which is maybe why the hosts have suddenly started on Twitter again. I think y'all need to level set your expectations. I would not expect Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler to be coming back to do new episodes of X-Play. They might do a cameo. They might hand the baton to somebody else. But I would be really surprised if they were to come back and do the show because they've moved on in their careers. Morgan Webb is in the games industry. She's with some game company, I think, down in Southern California. And Adam Sessler, I think, went to some – I think he's outside the games industry now, if I remember right. I can't profess to be their biggest fans and follow their every move. So I just but I know they've moved on in their careers, as has, you know, somebody we were working with many years ago. And, you know, I still try to keep tabs on Scott Rubin, who is a big part of G4 TV and a big part of the foundation of G4. You know, he's moved on with stuff that he does working with the ice cream stuff at Burning Man and some of the production company and stuff. So, like, you know, everybody's kind of like moved on in their careers. So I'm not so sure we should expect all these old hosts to get back together again. I think we'll probably see some new stuff. But I think it might be mixed in with old stuff that they're going to show, like on this G4 Peacock thing. But I think G4 will be a branding for a couple of things. Esports, don't take your eye off of that, because I could totally see that Peacock might want to cement itself as an esports streaming thing, and they could leverage the G4 brand to do that. So there's that. But then also they might try to create bingeable shows. They might try to create 10 new episodes of X-Play to binge, and they'll be under like the G4 label, and it'll be a part of Peacock. But if I bet money on this type of stuff, I would bet G4 and Peacock are tied together. But we'll see. It might not end up being that at all. It might end up being like a Twitch channel or something like that, like a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah, I hope it's just not, it's not all just the old stuff. I hope that they do new content for it, because it would be kind of disappointing if it's just reruns of the old things. And also, speaking of reruns, so as long can we get some Starcade in there, please?
I
Starcade.
can I host the new Starcade? Everybody on Twitter, every personality on Twitter is like, I want to be on the new G4. I want to be on the new G4 when we don't even know what the fuck it is. So, you know, y'all can look me up if you need a host for Starcade, but I'm not exactly going to hold my breath either. I'm sure they have their eye on plenty of other people. But I'd be the best. SSG100 Matt says, gaming has changed since G4 went off the air. Esports is more of a thing that everyone with a video service is fighting to get. Gaming brings in a lot of money now. It feels like a perfect storm for G4 to come back. Crystal Sykes 80 in chat says, Morgan Webb is working with a new company from Riot Refugees. I knew there was something there. Tiger Claw says, the G4 that's relaunching won't be the G4 you remember. I see this more as using an existing brand because of the recognition. I agree with that. And don't forget, the G4 you remember could be one of like three or four different things. Do you mean the early G4 that many of you folks who got introduced to our show through All Games and Scott and all that, is that the G4 you remember? Or do you remember G4 Tech TV? Or do you remember when they dropped Tech TV and they were G4 just with Attack of the Show? Or do you remember reruns of Cops? Which G4 are you looking for? Which G4 do you want? it'll be interesting to see what comes of it. It really will. I'm very curious, but we'll have to just kind of hold our breath.
I would love for Tech TV to come back. Can they come back on the air too?
I know everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about Attack of the Show coming back. How about the Screensavers? Hello, that's the show I'd love to see come back. But again,
Screensavers in a way, they have their own. Screensavers is still on the air.
Yeah.
Streaming now.
Leo Laporte is This Week in Tech, and that's like, you know, if you want to follow him, that's where at. So.
Well, no, he actually does a show called The Screensavers. I think he does the new Screensavers now. I think that's what it's called. And it is a streaming like video show now. I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's This Week in Tech still. I know he does his podcast and everything. I'm pretty sure that's a live video show, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We don't have a lot else to go off of on the G4 thing for now. Let's move on with some more news. Loki, you were talking about a game a little bit earlier.
Yes, I did talk about a game a little bit earlier. So this is pretty cool. This is, I think, actually part of their pre-show that they did for the Xbox gaming event or press conference, but they were showing off a brand new game. It's being published by Square Enix, and of course it combines the talents of Yuji Naka and co-creator of Nights into Dreams, Naoto Oshima. And it's this game called Balan Wonderland, which I am now playing in the background of my video stream. And it is it just exudes the essence of Knights. It is a 3D platformer game. What's kind of cool, though, is you get these costumes, which each have their own powers, that sort of remind me a little bit of actually Mega Man as well. And so it's going to be something that's going to be coming to Xbox One and the Series X in 2021. I'm down for a brand new game from these guys. And just, it was probably one of the more exciting announcements even before the show started, which is pretty sweet. So, yeah, I mean, I'm down. And this is one of these games that you don't need to push, like, really great graphics to have a really fun-looking game.
Right.
But even seeing that, though, the graphics look pretty great. So, bring it on. Let's do it.
Yeah, it looks cute. And Dark Sakura, I know you're a big Knights fan. You and your husband have a Knights tradition around Christmas time. for Christmas nights. So is Balan Wonderland something that speaks to you?
Yeah, I'm interested in it. It's on the list. We'll see what happens. It looks really fun, really cute. And it makes me think that Cappy has like a really crazy cousin who decided just to take over people's entire heads.
And it should be noted, though, that even though this was part of the Xbox event, it's also coming to other platforms, including Switch.
Yeah, I saw stuff about Switch. That's probably what I would want to play it on.
Yep. So. All right.
Still exciting.
Yeah, it looks good. I can't wait to have a demo or see more info on it so I can get my hands on it and play it myself. Jumping ahead to some Nintendo news, because Nintendo shared a little bit this week. They also had a Direct Mini this week where they did a showcase of some upcoming games from their partners. Unfortunately, I think this is one of those things on social media where people set the bar really high, like OMG, Metroid Prime. No, it wasn't any of that. And I thought Nintendo made that clear, but sometimes folks get their expectations set a little bit high. So some folks were left disappointed. But if you more level set those expectations appropriately, then you got a few updates that maybe you liked. For example, Shin Megami Tensei 5, I think that's going to be a big deal because that is coming out exclusively to the Nintendo Switch. That is a role-playing series that's gone on forever. It has tons of spin-off types of things. Like, isn't Persona kind of eventually a spin-off of Shin Megami Tensei, essentially? So, like, you know, this series is a mainstay in gaming. So the fact that Nintendo Switch is getting the exclusive on the actual number 5 is a pretty big deal. Shin Megami Tensei 3 is getting a remaster, so that's pretty cool. That'll be coming out in spring 2021 for the Nintendo Switch. Rogue Company is a new shooter that they showed off as well. I know y'all love wrestling, even though wrestling's been a little iffy in the gaming world in the past few years. But WWE 2K Battlegrounds is coming, and it says that it's going to be all new, over-the-top, in-your-face arcade action. And what else do we expect from the WWE but over-the-top? That's why we watch it. And then another big announcement, which is pretty cool, Cadence of Hyrule. Yeah?
One thing about that is I was hearing, I think that's the one that they're getting CM Punk to come back for.
Oh, it's that's not on my list, but that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw something about that earlier. I think that might be the game.
It might be. I'm trying to bring up a story that's got more information on that. Yeah, Phoenix7726 says WWE games have been really bad for the last 5 years. That might explain why they're trying to do something different with it, though, for what it's worth. So, who knows?
Yeah.
All right, anyway. And then the one other thing I want to mention, the Cadence of Hyrule, there's going to be 3 DLC packs for this. And a lot of people are really into that game. It's Crypt of the NecroDancer meets Zelda songs. There's going to be a character pack with 5 new characters, a melody pack with 39 new songs, and a third pack for additional story called Symphony of the Mask, where you actually play a Skull Kid. So I think it's pretty cool that that game has been so successful, because that was really a partnership between an established franchise and indie games, and a lot of people are really into it. I think people are going to be very pleased to hear Nintendo is pouring even more into that with the 3 DLC packs that are coming. That's pretty freaking cool. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. By the way, it's a rumor. So,
just a rumor. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it when going through just somebody looking up people, but it was a rumor. So,
okay. Well, we'll see. All right, Dar Sakura, maybe you have another rumor for us.
I do, and this one actually has, I think, a little bit more credence to it. But one of my favorite mangaka, as a comic artist in Japan, Ito Junji is apparently in talks with Kojima to do another horror project. Ito is supposed to be working on Silent Hills. And I think also did contribute to the PT, so I'm not sure. But for anyone who doesn't recognize Ito's name, a lot of his manga became movies. If for anyone who's into Japanese horror, so Uzumaki, and actually there's going to be a new version of Uzumaki coming out. There's the Tomie movies. There's the Groaning Drain, Grave Marker Town, The Face Burglar, The Fearsome Melody. I mean, those are like some pretty well known of his. And then he also did like a couple of cute comic series called Junji Ito's Cat Diary, Yon and Moon, which is about him and his wife and their 2 cats. So
cute.
But yeah, it looks like that there's going to be a collaboration, and I really hope so, because the two of them together could really do amazing things.
Well, you know, this also kind of fans the flames of that rumor that Kojima's next game is a horror game. And I know there's been talk, is it that he got PT and Silent Hills back? Is it that, or is it something different? I mean, we don't really know. We can speculate forever. But it would seem like if he was trying to work with Ito in these other games that he would, okay, now I've got a project that's not going to get canceled because it's under this company. I could come back and, you know, maybe we'll put some of those other ideas we were working on into this new idea, whatever it is. So this definitely kind of fans the flames of Kojima's working on a horror game. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I do hope that this happens, and I do hope that they work together, because that would be absolutely amazing. Like, I would love to see Uzumaki, but I have snail phobia, so I couldn't see it. Uzumaki is Spirals.
Oh. Questbuster in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says, another side note on Junji Ito, World of Horror on Steam is inspired by him. I tried the free version a while back, and it's pretty great if you love Japanese horror or Lovecraftian stuff. So a game recommendation there from Questbuster. Oh, cool. All right. Well, let's move on with a few more stories. Loki. Loki, you're muted. Just so you know.
Sorry, my cat kept...
Believe me, I understand.
I don't know. She wants attention or something. Anyways, all right. So there's some interesting leaks or rumors regarding some updates they're going to be having to Fortnite. So right now, some more teases that there's going to be drivable vehicles pretty soon in Fortnite, which makes sense because they had boats added in there. So I could see that coming out in a new season or something. But they said, you know, fender bender, no sweat. Run out of gas, that's not covered. And they talk about kind of this, you know, like fictional insurance company type thing. But that's, you know, from the actual Fortnite Twitter account as well. And, of course, you know, folks have been digging into the actual updates and everything. And there's just finding stuff that's been data mined that hints to vehicles coming. So I'm guessing that's going to be coming pretty soon. Since apparently, you know, that's... looks that's where it's pointing to, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Could be interesting to see how that impacts the game. Like, how protected would you be when you're in a vehicle? You know, is there going to be weaponry that could take you right out of a vehicle or get you killed in the vehicle? I'd be kind of curious how that sort of changes the dynamic of the game. Now, I'm going to fess up, of course, I don't play a lot of Fortnite, but I'd be a fool not to acknowledge what a huge impact it has in the gaming industry. So any little thing that Fortnite does to change up the formula is something that people are going to be talking about, you know, and probably copying.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, moving on to other car-based games, and one that I think set a lot of standards in the industry, let's talk about Rocket League. And this is pretty exciting. Rocket League is going to be going free-to-play. Rocket League will be getting an update later this summer that's going to make it free-to-play. This was announced in a blog post that was made by Psyonix, who's the developer of the game. This is also going to be bringing Rocket League to the Epic Game Store and will no longer be on Steam. That's pretty interesting. Now, I kind of think of this game, too, and I kind of go, most people, I feel like, got this game for free at some point, most notably through PlayStation Plus gave it away at one point, because I feel like when everybody downloaded that game, that's when this game caught fire, and, like, so many people got turned onto it, it just really ended up being a runaway success. Obviously, a lot of that is just the strength of the game itself, and the fact that Rocket League plays, like, a familiar, yet a very new type of sport, where it's like, it's soccer, but it's with cars, or it's all sorts of other games, but with cars. So, so now even more people are going to get to try this out thanks to a free-to-play update. It will also support cross-platform progression, so your inventory and competitive rankings will be under a unified Epic Games account. That's also very interesting to note. So will you log into that account on the other platforms? It sounds like you might be. Now, if you already own the game on Steam, you'll still be able to launch and play from Steam, so you're not going to be, like, robbed of your game or anything or of any of the updates, but they're just no longer going to actively sell it on Steam. Also, the tournaments will change and the reward challenges will change, and there'll be some bonus cosmetics. I imagine if it's going free to play, they want to start to make a little more money off of those cosmetics. Plus, it's probably one of those things where the game's been out for a little while now. Like, I feel like it's been out for 3 or 4 years. So it's probably just kind of run its course on how many units it's actually going to sell. And maybe now if we go to free to play, we can still kind of get some money through some different outlets. But you know what? Rocket League is still a strong game. I believe it has its own convention, because I know our voiceover guy, Jason, really into Rocket League and was at a thing last year, which obviously I'm sure isn't happening this year because of all the COVID stuff. But yeah, this game is a sport all of its own. And this game is something that's probably going to be covered on the new G4. Could probably have its own sports show, quite honestly. And we'll see where that ends up. So now everybody can play it for free. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura, we had a game. I remember talking about this game a month ago, but there's been like a lot that's kind of like happened with this, right?
Yeah, it looks like. So we talked before about a game that's supposed to help with ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And they're looking at this game. You know, it's being marketed as a way to help children focus and you know, do little type of cognitive training to help. So they can prescribe the game, doctors can, by giving the kids or giving their parents a code to download the app. It's called Endeavor RX. But there are some critics who are pretty much stepping out against this, including one clinical psychologist named Russell Barkley, who has authored several ADHD books. And he and three other experts reviewed Achilles, the company's research, and said that they were overpromising by implying that they can provide meaningful help for the children struggling in school and at home. And they're talking about on the level of near debilitating neurodevelopmental disorders. And the one of the people, Mark Rapport, who is the head of the Children's Learning Clinic at the University of Central Florida, I'm just going to read the quote. "I'm a little shocked and more perplexed about why the FDA would approve this and allow it to be paid for by insurance. I abhor seeing desperate parents spend money based on empty promises. On moral grounds, I think it's wrong to tell people to get their doctors to prescribe this when it does nothing of real world importance."
And looking at the trailer for that, I mean, the game looks like the most generic of basic rail, like a endless runner type of game. I mean, I can't imagine how that would be any different from, say, anything that's on the App Store right now. I don't see how this would differentiate itself and be classified as like actual treatment when any of these other games could easily, it's exactly the same.
Well, and the company's study, you know, was basically saying, and they published it in The Lancet, which is a peer-reviewed journal, found that 36% of children who played the game for 25 minutes a day, 5 days a week for a month, no longer had a deficit of attention that was measurable. But to quote Barkley again, the effects just don't generalize. You get better at playing the game and anything similar to playing the game. So really, it's just repetition. Hmm. And it's the studies that have gone out, and one of them, there was software invented by Adam, I'm going to mispronounce it, Ghazali, who's a neuroscientist at UC San Francisco. He's a board member now for Achilles, and they've done 5 studies, and one of them is unpublished. And they were all either wholly or partially funded by Achilles. So I think it is very suspect. I mean, it would be great if a game could help kids with cognitive therapy, but I don't really. I'm feeling more and more skeptical. And another thing that when they did the studies, they were warned that their results were not sufficient enough to have the game listed as a replacement for more established treatments. They had excluded children taking ADHD medication or who had an additional, quote, significant psychiatric problem. The authors did disclose that they found a difference between parents' assessments of the children and the control group who played a computerized word game. So it's really, I don't know. I'm really skeptical of it. And of course, there's also now parents who have children with ADHD, though, who are finding that their children are becoming obsessed with the video games they're playing at, on a level of addiction. And, you know, serotonin is a good thing. Dopamine's a good thing. You know, playing those games affect that. So I think that I'm really, really skeptical. And I mean, and it's the same reason I think that people are so quick to try naturopathic methods. They don't want to think of their children being medicated, but what they don't understand, and I can vouch for this personally as an autistic person, the medications are prescribed for a reason. Some of us need to have adjustments to our neurochemistry, plain and simple, or else we cannot function. I cannot function off of my meds. And I understand people don't want their kids to be on this, but at the same time, you know, putting a video game out there when there are better therapies for these children. I mean, yeah, if the game will supplement what they're doing, then as a supplement, that's fine, you know, but not as a replacement.
Let me get to some comments from chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Bobby Blackwolf says that the differentiation in the game is all the distractions that come in. The things in the trailer to notice is that they have distraction elements all around specifically to distract. So the treatment is to be able to focus on the endless runner portion and not always get distracted by the elements that are flying around. Note, I'm not a doctor. I just read up on it. And that it is intended to be played in a clinic with supervision from the doctor, not intended to be played at home. It's to be a supplement. Marissa in chat says, I did an ADHD test on a computer, and I was worried I was going to ace it out of sheer gaming skills and misrepresent my test results. Nope, still have ADD. And continues, it's like those brain training apps that are popular but repeatedly shown by studies to not be as effective as the claims. Ooh, very interesting comparison there with things like brain training. I mean, those games sure are kind of fun, and it feels like, you know, like, oh, I have this kind of like creative outlet and I'm unleashing this creative energy or what have you. But is it really like, is it really expanding your brain? So, no, it's not doing any of that stuff. It's just like, oh, it's, you know, a different way to kind of stimulate different parts of your brain that might not be getting it otherwise. So,
Kronos, yeah, but it's not teaching any cognitive real therapy. It's right. Just teaching you to play a game. It's a distraction.
Kronos Ode in chat says, I have ADHD. Gaming has been used for me as a supplement to other treatments. So, and Marissa says, I'm being generous there. You learn to ace the game, not cognitive skills. So,
yeah, I think Marissa and I were thinking along the same lines.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, it sounds like this is a very controversial thing, this game in the medicine world. I think this is not the last time we're going to hear about this. So we'll keep our eye on it.
They've also tried to do the same thing for autistic people. And for the record, I do not use person first language with that, simply because you're not like, I'm not a person with autism. I am autistic. It is a part of me and it is not separate from me. I don't like put it in my person, take it with me where I go. Mm-hmm. But that being said, they've tried to do some similar therapies like that for people on the spectrum, and to very little effect. Only some people really see any kind of benefit from it. Just saying, you know.
All right. Well, let's move on, you guys. We got a lot more news to cover before we get to our classic game of the week. So, Loki.
So one of the games, like I said, I was playing is the brand new Paper Mario the Origami King. Well, apparently there is a game-breaking bug in the game. Kind of in the middle of the game in this area called the Shangri-Spa, you get this rainbow VIP pass, which allows you to get into a special area of the game, the Spring of Rainbows. And apparently if you leave the area after visiting the bouncer who takes the pass, you can't get it back. And so you're stuck and can't finish the game. So it's pretty bad that there's this bug that it could possibly break everything. Well, I guess, although if you've been used to playing games like Skyrim, you know there's lots of game-breaking quests in that as well. No word on when Nintendo's going to patch this, but I mean, they're going to have to, obviously, since it's a pretty massive bug that allows you to actually have to restart the whole game to get through it. So,
well,
I just have to be very careful then when I get to that point.
As you point out, though, you know, they're not the first company to have, like, you know, if you align things a certain way, you're going to bork your whole game. Like, I feel like this was just recently out there with a recent release. Was it like Final Fantasy VII Remake? I don't want to falsely accuse a game, but there was like another game that had recently come out. It probably was a Bethesda game where, like, again, if the stars aligned a certain way, you could screw yourself out of beating the game. And you'd be stuck and have to start over. So it's just not often we hear it coming out of Nintendo's camp. Because usually, well, you know, those games are tested so well and everything's really rock solid.
Yeah, so, well, I hope that doesn't happen to me. That would suck.
Well, now you know what not to do. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, so more protection coming out for the PlayStation 4, although there already is like a two-factor authentication, I know, because I turned mine on, but you get like text messages through it. PlayStation and Sony are actually going to be expanding that as part of the 8.0 system update for PlayStation 4. Some of the users that are participating in it have noticed that you can actually use other authenticating apps from the App Store through Apple or Google Play. I would imagine things like Authy, Google Authenticator, and some of the big apps that are already out there. Like, you know, Twitch supports a lot of these as well. Hell, Nintendo, a lot of that runs through Google Authenticator. So PlayStation is going to go this route as well. And this actually seems to be, for an 8.0 release, this is kind of the big deal about it. There's some other minor things they're saying, but this is another thing. Hey, if it makes more people sign up for two-factor authentication, then I think it's a great thing. Because something I learned over the weekend, just on a personal note, I had mentioned some of the things that were going on with my dad a couple weeks ago on this show, that he had a stroke, and luckily I called the ambulance on him and he got taken in. He just finished up physical rehab and he was discharged on Thursday. I went to visit him on Saturday and things are looking pretty good. That he's going to make a pretty darn good recovery. So I'm really, really thankful for that and really thankful for all the good vibes you all were sending. But I do bring that up because I learned firsthand while I was over there visiting is that he got himself kind of like locked out of his Microsoft account and he couldn't get a text message to authenticate because he doesn't pay for a text messaging plan. He doesn't have any text messages. But if he had an authenticator app, he could probably use it that way, although I would not expect him to necessarily know like how to do all that. He just wants to use his computer, do his genealogy projects. He doesn't want to do anything that fancy on there. So, this will be another way for people to protect their accounts, and I think that will be a very, very good thing. SHO100 Matt in chat says, as a special reminder, always sign up for two-factor auth. Strong agree. I mean, there may be reasons that are stopping you, such as limited text or whatever, but consider apps, consider, you know, physical key fobs, even if you have to. There's lots of other ways to two-factor auth. Please, please, if nothing else, secure your bank account and your email account, because your bank account is your money and everything else resets through your email. So at least, for the love of God, get those done. All right. Crystal Sykes, 80, or Sky, excuse me, Crystal Sykes, sorry, I don't know why, sometimes I read these names so fast, guys, sorry, and plus, I can't control the colors that are showing up, and some of them are dark colors on a dark background, and that doesn't help me, so sorry, guys. So Crystal Sykes, 80, in chat says, I have a two-factor authenticator on my two-factor authenticator. Hey, that's the ultimate in protection. All right. Let's move on and let's go back to a classic time when we didn't have to worry about authentication because not everything was connected online. It's a classic segment we like to call the Classic Game of the Week. So Darksoccer is going to step into the gaming vault and she's going to find a game that, hey, forget all these newfangled next-gen things we were talking about at the top of the show. Play this classic instead. So, Darksoccer, what is the classic game of the week?
The classic game of the week is Red Earth, which I was actually surprised that I haven't done before, but because I've talked about characters from it. And then I realized it was Cyberbots that I did. So yeah, Red Earth, also known in Japan as Warzard. It is a fantasy, a sword and sorcery 2D fighting game developed by Capcom and was released in the arcades in 1996. It was the first game for Capcom's CP System 3 hardware, the same hardware that Street Fighter 3 and later versions came out on. It is a fairly common game in Japan, but had very minimal distribution overseas. It is the only, to date, CPS3 game that has never been officially ported to home platforms, though, like I said, characters appeared in other games and have been playable in other crossover games. The artwork for it was done by some of the same people who worked on Darkstalkers, the Night Warriors. A couple other little things about Red Earth is that it's one of those games that has this neat password feature in it, so that you can play the game later on the same skill level that you reached on your one character in your quest mode. So you actually do get experience points in battle. That's if you either versus or I think, yeah, the what's the word I'm thinking of? The story mode, the quest mode. And so with this one, you have your vitality gauge for each of the computer-controlled characters. You get that at the bottom of the screen, and it's bigger than your own gauge. So as you land hits on your appointments, coins and treasure chests come out, and collecting the coins gives you experience points, and then you can use the items in the treasure chest, like the orbs for super moves or food to replenish your vitality. And it makes it work a little bit more like a side-scrolling game, but it's a fighter. On top of this, it is one of the few Capcom games that includes a fatality system. I don't know if they were trying to compete with Mortal Kombat for this one, but it like Darkstalkers tries to make it like more comedic, but Red Earth is more realistic. So like splitting your opponent in half, or decapitation, or artery rupture, or limb slicing, or organ removal, or all kinds of other gutting. But it is a really beautiful game. It takes place in 1999, first of all, in the Japanese version, on an alternate Earth that's stuck in a mythological medieval fantasy kind of state. And there's a country that's being led by Blade, who's sending out monsters to take over the world, and you have four heroes have to defend it. In the Western version, it takes place in 13XX, and shows an Earth where there was no industrial revolution or renaissance that progressed the world forward. So your main characters is that you have Leo, who is a giant lion man. He is a 35-year-old king. Then you have Kenji, as he was in the U.S. In Japan, he was called Mukuro, who is like our kind of ninja dude. We have Tessa in the U.S., or Tabasa, who we got in Pocket Fighter, remember? And also, she's great because she has four cats who she fights with her cats.
My kind of girl.
And her cats are also cards in SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash. And she has a bird named Hato and her frog Kairu, which it means frog, and a dragon spirit called Meno. Also, the last character is called Myling, who's in Japan. She's called Tao, who is actually one of the few characters that hasn't made too much of an appearance in any other game. So, yeah, it's a very, very interesting fighting game. I would love to have some kind of home release on this. You hear me, Capcom? Do it! And it's just... yeah, pretty neat. It's beautiful is what it is. I mean, it's not hard to see where Street Fighter 3 came from with this one. And of course, you know, for your bad guys, you know, you've got a fossil character. You have a merchant who was changed into an oni, like a demon. You know, you have a character that's half kraken. I mean, it's pretty amazing fantasy. And of course, the soundtrack was released composed by Iwai Takayuki with help from Yamamoto Ryoji and Hachisako Wataru. Some of the tracks were reused in Capcom Fighting Evolution, although downgraded a little bit. They did two books about the game in Japan. One was called All About Warzard, that looked into the creation of the game. So as concept art, screenshots, different details about the game, technically and musically. And then the other one was Gamest Mook number 65 Warzard, which is an unofficial book out by Gamest and has a fan art section. There is a Darkstalkers Red Earth crossover manga called Maleficarum. It was published in Japan in 1997 and had a release by Udon Comics in 2010. And then, of course, Capcom also released figurines from it. And, I mean, so now we get on to the legacy of the game. Tessa, also Tabasa, was in SNK vs. Capcom SBC Chaos, Super Gem Fighter. And she had a cameo in Leo's ending in Capcom Fighting Jam. She was also in Doctor Strange's ending for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Leo is a playable character in Capcom Fighting Jam, and he appeared in Hawkeye's ending in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Kenji was also playable in Capcom Fighting Jam. He has a character called Heroes and Heralds in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Myling hasn't appeared in anything, like I said, although she did appear in Pyron and Leo's endings in Capcom Fighting Jam, and is one of Tabasa's defenses in Pocket Fighter. So we've had all kinds of different other characters, like Gigi, another character, appeared in PTX-40A's ending in Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. So yeah, just keep your eyes open, they show up again. And actually, another funny thing, if you've ever played Dragon's Dogma, there's a piece of armor called the Cursed King's Belt with the description, a belt worn by an Eliminator, the relic of a king who is cursed to live as a lion. It boosts the wearer's ability to stagger his opponent, so it was a reference to Leo. So yeah, it is a gloriously beautiful game. I sorely wish we would have a release of it, so for right now, there are ways of playing it, and then, yeah, I didn't tell you that. So, but isn't it pretty?
It is a very good-looking game, and I have to admit it's one I haven't really played before, so I'm glad you brought it up. You're right, Capcom needs to put this out.
Yeah, and the animation in it, I mean, you can really, and this is actually one of the things that I enjoy about just watching this game, is that the fluidity in the animation, you can absolutely see where it came in as a going into the influence for Street Fighter. So I'm down for it. The game is pretty awesome, and Capcom needs to bring it to us at home.
All right, I can agree with that. All right,
for the record, I forgot to say that I did get another game.
Oh,
this week.
What's that?
When I did my class, I got Sega Ages Fantasy Zone for the Sega Saturn.
Oh, I just went back to the main show shot, and there's Kitty licking Loki there. It's adorable.
Stop yelling at me for like the last 10 minutes. So.
She just wanted to come give me kisses.
I don't know where the Patittles is. She's fucked off somewhere.
Oh, I tried to get Smush was in here earlier when Delvin was here. Yeah, I tried to get him up on the couch, but he wouldn't do it. We did move his basket, so Smush's basket is in the hallway now because he does use it. So it's pretty crazy. Anyway, it's adorable. So, Darsakra, thank you as always. Thank you as always. I know you have to head out for the last time early. Well, for now. But thank you, of course, for being here. You looked marvelous. And good luck, and we'll see you in a week. Do you have any Do you have any last thoughts for our listeners before you hang up?
Words.
Okay, good enough.
Oh, also, congrats to Shea Coulee, just saying, even though I was Team Cracker. Congrats.
Mm-hmm, I agree. I was team any of them. They're all wonderful. But it is nice to see Shay get, you know, like a prize after season 9. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the right word. But, like, you know, because I don't want to, you know, devalue Sasha's win. But at the same time, Shay really deserves something. So, all right.
And
anyway.
Also, Angina is adorable, and I want to carry her in my pocket.
All right. All right, bye,
Poppy
Jamie.
Thanks, bye.
All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news. So, Loki, if you're able to put the kitty down, let's go to some rapid-fire news.
Yeah, so one of the movies that I liked was actually surprised to like. I mean, I guess I would have liked it anyways because Jim Carrey's in it. But Sonic the Hedgehog, and that came out earlier. So they've finally announced, because it was a pretty successful movie, that the sequel is coming April 2022, or to be exact, April 8th, 2022. So yeah, I can't wait for that movie to finally come out and to check out what they do with it. It's lots of exciting possibilities with that movie, especially with all the teases at the end. So very much looking forward to that.
All right.
And then since we talked about the whole protest last week with Red Dead and the clown costumes and whatnot, it's kind of funny, though, that right now we finally got the update that there is going to be a brand new update to Red Dead Online out July 28th. So it's going to be huge, and it's going to be coming out right around the corner. And I guess maybe they heard the protests and are finally making some announcements about it, or moving up their announcements. But they didn't say exactly what they're going to be adding to that right now, but I guess we'll get the details coming pretty soon. So we'll just say that those protests work then.
I apologize to the podcast listeners who can't see the video. But can we just take a minute to appreciate? No. Like, for those, it's an extra special treat for those that are either subscribed to our Twitch channel and able to access the video archive, or here with us live, just to see your cat like giving, like licking your beard and grooming you as you're trying to do the news so professionally. It's just, let's just take a minute to appreciate cats. I know some of y'all are allergic or have other reasons for maybe not caring for them, but I guess maybe pets in general. Then let's just take a moment to appreciate pets.
She does this all day. Like, even she knows when I'm on like calls and everything with my work and everything. She'll come and she'll just stand there and just like meow 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 like the entire time.
Smush,
like,
does the same thing.
Stop it.
But Smush doesn't do that. Smush doesn't do what Stella's doing to you right now. So. He doesn't do that.
She's just happy because I trimmed the beard, so it's not as long. Before, when she tried to like cuddle or whatever, it would like poke her in the ear and like kind of tickle her or like smash her in the face. And so now that it's short, she's like, oh, okay, cool.
All right. Well, while the cat grooms you, let me try to get a couple of stories of my own here. So let's talk about Overcooked. Overcooked, the all-you-can-eat edition. That's right. It's a repackaging of the Overcooked games. It's the first two games and all the DLC. That's 200 kitchens for you to get mad at your friends about. That's going to be coming out for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. And obviously, a lot of people are... I've played the Overcooked games. JD, who I haven't seen in chat for a while, but you know, before all this social distancing stuff happened and I was visiting him once in a while, usually Overcooked would get launched at some point, and I had no idea what the hell I was doing in that game, so I was just like, I'll just sit here and wash dishes. I'm going to do one thing and I'm going to do it well. But that game's a lot of fun, and getting to interact with people and also getting really mad at your friends when the stage starts like floating and splitting in two and doing all this crazy stuff. 4K resolution and 60 frames a second for the all-you-can-eat edition. That's pretty cool. And if you weren't already aware, Mixer's last day was this week. And what's kind of interesting is that a lot of the people that were streaming on Mixer the last day were plugging their Twitch accounts. You may remember Mixer actually was creating a bridge to Facebook Gaming, but I think a lot of people...
That's a bridge no one wants to cross, though.
Exactly,
so.
Right. Now... There are some, to be fair, there are some people who have decided to take stock in Facebook Gaming, and good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor, and so forth. And I don't want to talk again. I really don't like Facebook gaming, but that has nothing to do with the content creators. So if that's what you've chosen for you and the path for you, I wish you well. I do. I won't be watching because I don't support Facebook, and I don't think they should be getting into this business. I'm not going to support them in this business. But, you know, again, I wish you well. I know it sounds like I'm being an ass. Maybe I am a little bit, but yeah. But for those that are making their way over to Twitch, welcome. I hope you're doing okay and getting establishing yourself here and all that good stuff. So, you know, good luck. Some folks in comments, it's tough starting over. One Mixer broadcaster said in a farewell on Mixer, I had 42,000 followers. All of a sudden you have to start over. And I think that's something we always kind of have to keep in the back of our minds with a lot of this stuff, is that we never know when one day the plug might get pulled. And that goes for Twitch as well, although Twitch has been doing pretty well thus far.
Even less people know who we are.
Yeah, right? All right. So, hey, a special guest wanted to come join us. Why not? We had a special guest earlier in the show, so why not bring another special guest on tonight? Because since we've been talking about you know, the news and all this stuff, we're going to bring on a special guest here who does not have a webcam, so you get the picture of Smoosh instead. So I believe Shane is there on Discord.
Yes, I should be.
Hello. Saying, we see Mr. Smoosh. We don't see Shane. Well, Shane doesn't have a webcam anyway, and you'd probably rather look at Mr. Smoosh. So.
Well, I was out in the sun all day, and I walked like another 8 miles today. Uh-huh. So I am disgusting looking, and everything hurts. So you don't want to put up with that anyway.
Real quickly, how was Pokemon Go Fest Day 2 for you?
Better than yesterday. Still not worth $15.
All right. Now, you texted me mid-show, as you sometimes do, with your angry feedback about the show. Mm-hmm. But for once, I actually felt it was justified, because there's a very important piece of news that we haven't talked about yet on the show, and it's actually not coming up in Part B either. And I know this is something very near and dear for you. And when you texted me, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, we really should talk about that. So, Shane, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the newly announced game/Kickstarter for the spiritual successor to the Suikoden series called Eiyuden Chronicle.
And what would you what tell us more about it?
And that's it.
That's it. The end. Goodbye.
That's it. So everybody should know, that knows me, that I'm like a huge rabid Suikoden fan. Like, I have every game, even the dumb card game on Game Boy Advance. I worked on the fifth game, which was like one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we're able to openly talk about the fact that you actually worked on the series. So you kind of went literally as far as you can go as a fan.
Yeah, basically. And there hasn't really been a new game in the proper series in, I think it's 14 years. And there was a couple spinoffs that one of them didn't even leave Japan. So it's like, whatever. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the story writer for the first, second, and third, even though he wasn't credited, the story writer for the first, second, and third Suikoden games, and a few other people that have been involved in the series, like the character designer for 1 and 4, they got together and created their own video game studio and announced this, like I said, spiritual successor to the Suikoden series. Kickstarter goes live tomorrow, and it looks amazing. It's supposed to harken back to the PS1 JRPG era, and what they've shown off so far, there's a trailer supposedly coming tomorrow as well, but they have a little clip of the battle system, and it looks like your standard 6-person battle system that Suikoden uses, plus like an Octopath Traveler design, and it is gorgeous. But, and like, I'm so excited.
But like with less lens flare, I thought it kind of actually looked better than Octopath, really.
Oh, it looks a lot better than Octopath, because you know, the Octopath sprites, they look very much like Super NES style sprites, like the 16-bit era, and this definitely goes to the PS1, where they're a little more detailed, less blocky. And there's a lot of different features they're adding. It sounds like they're pulling a lot from the original Suikoden games in terms of battle. You get a castle that you upgrade. Subtitle is 100 Heroes, and so we assume there's going to be like 100 people you can recruit. Suikoden is famous for having 108 characters in every game you can recruit. But in this one, they said like during battles, like if you cast an earthquake spell, it will change the landscape of the battle. So
Geomancer it's got dynamic. Confirmed.
Maybe. Well, they said like if you are in a forest and there's trees and you have a ninja character, they can hide behind the trees. Okay. So I don't know what that's all about, but I'm excited. Like I'm so pumped up, and the Kickstarter goes up tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific.
So even that quick, and SSJ 100 Matt, for those of you that are live or watching the archive, just linked the YouTube there, and it's like a 6-second clip, but it really, like, even I'm not as huge on Suikoden as Shane is, but I appreciate it, and I understand that it's, you know, I must admit, I've never beaten it, but I've played a lot of hours on part one and two. And it looks gorgeous, and it looks like, yeah, it just fits right into that mold. And I feel like this is going to be, for Suikoden, what Bloodstained was for Castlevania Symphony of the Night, almost like these two games are kind of cut out of a very similar mold, right?
Well, yeah, and a couple things about that. First, I want to just address what SSJ 100 Matt says in the chat about it being 2 years away. So they're targeting PC to start, and if they meet their goal of only $500,000. That is their goal.
They'll get that easy, yeah.
Yeah, they are going to have a stretch goal for PS5, Xbox Series X, and whatever the next Nintendo Switch is, if it's like a Switch 2, but they did say that if there is no new Nintendo system, they will work to get this working on Nintendo Switch. I guess it's too powerful for that. Crap, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, then let me read another comment from chat. Bobby Blackwell says, if it's only 500K, then they have in their funding.
Yeah, so that's that gets me back on track. With what you were saying, like how Bloodstained was like the new Castlevania, rumor has it is that, yes, they have other funding, and they are working with Igarashi to put this out. So that's kind of cool. It's another former Konami. I don't even know companies anymore.
Who did you Konami work for?
Square Enix. I don't know at this point. I'm so dead from today, but I am so hyped for this Kickstarter. So I need to get it out there. As much as possible.
I feel like we're going to have a lot of answers. Like I could do some more forecasting, but I feel like by the time many of our folks hear this on the podcast feed, that Kickstarter will already be up and we'll have some of these answers. So I don't want to speculate too much. But I do expect you'll probably be back next week to tell us all why we should be donating to the Kickstarter. Or I would love to hear if there was a shocking twist and you're like, ooh, I didn't donate.
Well, I think I was talking to one of my friends who's also a big fan. I was like, I think we need to remortgage the house so I can do like the best backer tier I can get on this Kickstarter. Because like, what if one of the tiers was like you get to be one of the 100 heroes? That would be so cool. And Dustin would be very mad, but I would do that.
Would you do you, or would you do Miklatov, who you were on DDR Fake?
I couldn't use him. He's a Suikoden 2 character. Oh, yeah, that's right. Probably like a big no-no.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, but there was one other thing I was going to say, and I keep getting distracted.
Haven't you thought of emailing and going, remember me? I worked on the fifth game?
No, because they're not with Konami, and these people that are part of the studio didn't work on 5. But there's already a story synopsis, which sounds a lot like Suikoden 2, so everybody's happy. They have the main character out there, and they have like 6 more supporting characters. And like, the art is really, really nice. And the title art for what you would assume the cover would be looks just like a Suikoden game, down to like the cool, fancy frame around the characters in the background. It just made me so happy when this got announced.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again next week about this.
I'm going to talk about it every day to anybody that will listen or won't listen. I don't care. I'll just talk at them.
Who follows you on Twitter? All right.
Yes.
All right. Shane, rest up. Remember, aloe vera is great for a sunburn. And maybe don't walk for 2 days after all that GoFest you did.
We have two flights of stairs. It's so hard to get around in the house. I don't think I'm leaving my computer chair.
Oh. And one more question, because I'm sure all the listeners want to know. Between day one and day two, total number of new shinies. Total number of shinies caught. Total number of shinies caught.
Okay, so I actually took a picture, and so I can count these up real quick. So that's easier just to do math. So that's 12, 13, 14, 15, 27, and then 33.
Wow. Did you get the shiny Gibble?
No. So I got all the shinies I wanted except for any Gibble line. I didn't get a second Tangela, and I did not get a Seviper. Everything else I wanted, I got G and O unknowns. I got the non-regionals that we don't – or the regionals we don't normally have. So I'm pretty happy with my shiny haul.
Yes, I got the shiny Gibble. I got something Shane doesn't have, and – I even got two, so I have something to hold over his head for a favor when I need it. So we'll see.
All right. I have two shiny Heatmore. You can have one of those if I can have a Gibble.
Yeah, Heatmore. Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you go because we can continue on with the rest of the show.
Okay.
But for a change, I appreciate the text message telling me that we're doing it all wrong because, I did want to talk about that Kickstarter tonight and I forgot. So.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. Going back, let's get into some world release dates. We're going to travel around the world and check out some games coming out real soon. So, Loki, what's coming out in the U.S.?
We have the remake of Destroy All Humans. That's coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. I guess that's a remaster, not so much a remake. Samurai Showdown, the Neo Geo Collection on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have a game called Lost Wing on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Doraemon, Story of Seasons on PlayStation 4. Looks like Hakuoki Shinkai Gensei no Sho on Nintendo Switch. Hellpoint on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Mobile Suit Gundam Extreme versus Maxi Boost on PlayStation 4. Root Film on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Yakuza Kiwami 2 on Xbox One. Yoru and Tomosu. That's Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. And Cat Quest plus Cat Quest 2 Possum Pack on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Fairy Tail on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. And last but not least, also Lost Wing coming out on PC and Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right. Let's talk about Japan and the releases in Japan this week on the Nintendo Switch. Some similar stuff, actually, to what I was hearing you talk about. E-School Life comes out in regular and limited edition. That Hakuoki Shinkai Gensei no Sho comes out in a regular and limited edition as well. And there's also a game called Yoru Tomosu. And then lastly, Bare Knuckle 4 gets a physical release, special edition, and multi-language in Japan. That is Streets of Rage 4, so it's Bare Knuckle 4 over there in Japan. So that is all on the Nintendo Switch. Looking at the PlayStation 4, I expect we'll have some overlap. And yep, we have Fairy Tail, we have E-School Life, Bare Knuckle 4, of course, Yoru Tomosu. But we also have the Kemco RPG Selection Volume 4. So another classic collection of Kemco RPGs coming out in Japan. I'm trying to load to see what's in there. Meanwhile, I'll mention also Doraemon Story of Seasons, also out in Japan. And Root Film is also out on the PlayStation 4 this week. So it looks like in this pack, the Kemco RPG Selection Volume 4 on the PS4, we have Cronus Arc for Ligerior, something like that. And let me see, I'm actually trying to find a list here. Oh, Bonds of the Skies and Monochrome Order. So some varied stuff there in Japan in a repackaged collection there. How about Europe, Loki?
In Europe, we've got Skater XL coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Destroy All Humans coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. We've got Lovecraft's Untold Stories on Nintendo Switch. Streets of Rage 4 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Looks like The Persistence on Nintendo Switch. Headmaster Extra Time Edition on PlayStation 4. Deliver Us the Moon on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Fairy Tail on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Cat Quest plus Cat Quest 2 Possum Pack on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right. Let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungetradio.com, and we like to read some emails here on the show. So we have two emails to read tonight, and the first comes to us from Fifth Dream. And this is a short email, but it's important because it's confessing to making a mistake that I made as well. So Fifth Dream's email says, "Don't worry, Rob. I didn't know where the problematic Washington football team was from until you said it. If you might remember on last week's show, I confessed, I always thought that when we were talking about Washington's football team, because we had a story about how the name is, because, you know, they had a name that, you know, is no longer really acceptable in 2020 state. It probably wasn't for a long time. But anyway, I digress. Y'all know what I mean. So I always thought this Washington team was in Washington State. But it turns out it's a Washington. That's how much I follow football. So Fifth Dream is confessing that Fifth Dream also thought that it was not a DC-related team, that it was somewhere else. And so the only sport I pay attention to is sumo, closes that email from Fifth Dream. And SHO 100 Matt says, well, now they are the Washington football team. And yeah, that's come out too, not just for EA's, you know, patching it into Madden and all that stuff, but I think they're going to be known as that probably for this whole season or whatever. So until they figure out what the new name is going to be, which Bobby Blackwolf is suggesting the Kraken, just like the new hockey team, the Seattle Kraken, whose logo looks like Trogdor the Burninator. I'm sure many of you saw this as well. Have you seen the Seattle Kraken logo? It looks like fucking Trogdor.
Yeah,
it's
they could just do that. It'll be the Seattle Trogdors.
Anyway,
burninating the competition.
I know some that name really polarizes people, but I got to say, I'm kind of into it just because I want to go to that arena in Seattle, and I want to see, obviously, once we're past COVID and all that stuff, we can go see games in person again. And I want to be there when that big voice comes out, when they get Liam Neeson to come out and say, "Release the Kraken," and then all the players come out. It'll be great. Anyway, all right, moving on. We have another email tonight from Carl. Hello, Carl. Thank you for the email. And it goes something like this. Hello, LR. I've just started listening again for the first time in around 13 years. Great to see you're still live and rocking, and the format is still growing strong. The three of you are a great fit. Well, thank you so much. I love when we get the tweets or the emails like this that are like, I thought you guys stopped this years ago, and I used to listen to this show 10, 15...
Sorry to disappoint you.
I almost said 20 years ago. soon. But yeah, no, welcome back, Carl. Have you considered going to other platforms also? Discord, YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram Live? You could definitely reach a bigger audience if it's something you're interested in. That's a great question, and I appreciate that candid feedback. So I've kind of made my stance on Facebook known. I just think Facebook has there's a lot of negative things that have affected our entire society that Facebook perpetuates, and that is clickbait headlines that aren't necessarily true. And I'm kind of like sick of that type of culture, and that's why I don't even have a personal Facebook anymore. I deactivated it. So I can't say we're going to be on Facebook anytime soon. I mean, we do have a Facebook page, but I'm no longer looking at it. Maybe Loki and Dark Sakura are. They're the admins now, but yeah.
Am I getting notifications?
You might be. I don't know.
I did respond to someone earlier this week. They were asking when our show was on.
Good job taking over, because I ain't there to do it. So good. I'm glad. All right.
I wondered if we should put out a YouTube video on Twitter or something like that says we've never stopped playing, which would actually be accurate.
Oh my God, that's a great idea. We should. When it's safe to do so, we should do it on your DDR machine, because that would be very old school. Anyway, but some of these other things that you bring up, we actually do exist on. So Discord, we're actually recording over Discord due to all the social distancing, and you can join us on our Discord. It's vognetwork.com/discord. Again, that's vognetwork.com/discord. And actually, Orange Lounge Radio has a room in there, and there's some great discussion that happens throughout the week sometimes. We were having a discussion earlier this week on now, of course, I need to think about, oh, it's the G4 revival and all that stuff. And I kind of put my theory about the Peacock and all that stuff was in there. A lot of times on our Twitch channel, too, like when the Xbox event was going on, we host it on the VOG Network Twitch, and we'll post a thing about it on Discord saying, come join us, because that way you can, like, watch it with like-minded chatters and not, like, a bunch of people trying to spam chat with whatever their dumb things they're saying. So that's always kind of cool, too. So I'd actually encourage you to join us on Discord, where we do have a presence, vognetwork.com/discord. As far as YouTube, so here's the thing. Due to Twitch agreements, we can't – because we are a Twitch partner, and there is a part of that agreement that our content has to be exclusive for 24 hours on Twitch, and that's fine. We don't really mind that. So we don't really produce a lot of content right now for YouTube, but I can say I've definitely been thinking about maybe some content that we can premiere on Twitch and trickle down to our YouTube in, like, you know, 2 days after the fact or something like that. So if you aren't following VOG Network on YouTube, I would get on that. If you want to go hunting as well, Orange Lounge Radio does have an old VOG Network channel, and there are some gems in there, such as there's like a tour of Dark Sakura's vault and all of her pinball machines. I mean, that clip is probably, I mean, it was in her old house, so it's probably like 7 years old at this point, but it's still interesting to see the world famous news clip where they showed Loki in his entire interview goes, oh, it's so much fun. And that's the only thing they gave Loki in that entire thing.
Yeah,
that is on YouTube fun as well. It's that clip is so old, too. They talk about Governor Schwarzenegger's podcast. Do you know how fucking long ago that was? That was a long time ago. So, but that's all on the Orange Lounge Radio YouTube. That's the old news. I would say if you're not following VOG Network on YouTube, get on that. We can't put the whole show on there, any of that. But we'll probably use clips and some other stuff there later on. Oh, did I say – I'm sorry. Bobby said – I said partner. Sorry, I meant affiliate, and there is a big difference between the two. Sorry, yes, we're a Twitch affiliate, not partner. And then Instagram Live. I'm not sure how to use that appropriately. I'm open to that, like what we can do with that, but it can't be a simulcast of the show. If you have ideas, I'm open to it, so let me know. But also Instagram's kind of tied to Facebook, and so I'm a little bit like, eh, but I also know, you know, there's a whole different, you're right, there's a whole different audience on IGTV and that stuff that isn't here, and so it might be a little smarter to, like, try to do some advertising there or try to do some, like, a side project or something, but I haven't even really thought about what that would look like. All right, moving on with Carl's email. Being a UK listener, your live times are a bit late for me, 2 a.m. Monday morning. Yeah, sorry, time zones. But the podcasts are great, and we're going to continue to do them until this show is done. I hope you guys are well and staying safe with COVID. Carl. Well, thank you very much for that email, Carl, and some good ideas. Thank you, thank you. Some multiple folks in chat suggesting an Instagram Live Mr. Smush cam. Mr. Smush has his own Instagram account, cheap plug. It's at Mr. spelled out, so it's M-I-S-T-E-R, Smush, all one word, on Instagram. So Mr. Smush actually has his own account, so you can check that out. Cheap plug. All right, let's move on. We have some more news to get to. Loki, why don't you bring us back to some gaming news?
All right. So we talked a little bit about some of the allegations with Ubisoft last week, and all these people coming out and speaking about them and how some of the upper executives have been let go or have, you know, been put on leave or whatever the case may be. Well, that got, of course, the investors asking questions saying, so what did Yves Guillemot know and when did he know it? So one of the investors from the analyst firm Jefferies posted the question. I wanted to ask the question of Yves as a founder and CEO of the company, and more important people than me will ask, but in a sense, I could present the question regarding what's happened recently as a kind of three options. either as CEO, you did not know this was happening, which is not great, or perhaps you didn't know enough and should have asked more. Maybe that's the answer. Or you knew, which of course would not be good. Now, those are the possibilities. You may answer the questions differently, but I'd like to ask, what would be your answer to the question about your responsibility as CEO?
Yeah, you have to remember, the CEO at the end of the day for a publicly traded company, or you know, one that has investors, the CEO ultimately answers to the board, you know, answers to the investors. And so this is very interesting to see, you know, Yves Guillemot be like held accountable essentially for what's going on, which is a good thing, you know, in the way it's outlined there by the investors. You know, either it was this, either you knew and you didn't do anything, which is horrible. You knew, but you didn't know enough, which is also not a good look, or you didn't know at all. Also not a good look. Please explain. So
right. So he did respond.
Oh, okay.
So he responded basically saying that, you know, it says, thank you for your question. In fact, each time we've been made aware of this contact, we have made actually tough decisions. And we made sure those decisions had a clear and positive impact. So that's very important. It has now become clear that certain individuals betrayed the trust I placed in them and Ubisoft's shared values. So I have never compromised on my core values and ethics and never will. I will continue to run and transform Ubisoft to face today's and tomorrow's challenge. That's a non-answer. So he's just shifting blame away from him, but he really should be aware of this stuff.
SSJ100 Matt puts this very succinctly in our chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork with this comment saying either he was oblivious, ignorant, or complacent, all of which are bad.
And I agree with that. But if there's an upside, it's not necessarily about this scenario, is that we talked last week about how...
Different. I think an upside topics, on a completely different topic. Yes.
How Take-Two was looking at charging $70 for their AAA games. Well, Ubisoft is saying that they're going to be sticking with $60 as their price point. So that is what it is.
And right then $40 worth of DLC day one.
Right. Completely separate, but at least there's something positive coming from Ubisoft right now.
All right. Well, and we know that there are some other changes they've committed to that sound promising. Obviously, actions speak louder than words, and we'll have to see what the long term looks like for that. But, you know, Ubisoft has a lot to, and especially Yves Guillemot, has a lot to kind of work on right now. So get to work. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's talk on a much lighter note. Let's go back to talking about Pokemon Go. That's certainly a light and frivolous topic. So let's talk about some of the, you know, because they were doing, with Go Fest having happened this weekend virtually, they were doing like some like virtual online stuff with that, including some interviews and some panels and things like that. So one of the new interviews was an interview with Matt Sleeman, who's the product lead for Pokemon Go, talking about some of the new features coming to Pokemon Go in the near future. In one quote talking about Mega Evolutions, he said, yeah, we're really excited for Mega Evolution. It's been really important to us as developers and fans of the franchise to get this one right. So it's something that we've been spending time on. The one thing I can confirm is that your existing Pokemon today will be the ones that will be Mega Evolved. Do you want to go in the Pokeball, Mr. Smush? I don't think you want to go in the Pokeball. Hush. All right. Sorry, guys. Although you love it and you know it. All right. So the Charizard you got at the very beginning of the game, your first Charmander or the one that you evolved, those are all viable candidates. They can all be Mega Evolved. We're excited to get that feature out to you and more details soon. Yeah, I want to see what that's going to look like because, you know, we might have assumptions based on the mainline games, but Pokemon Go has also shown that it's going to do some things like the battle system very, very differently. So I'm just kind of curious to see what that looks like long term. Now, another thing that people have been asking about is, when is the level cap going to increase? And they did address that. In another quote from Matt Sleeman said, this has been something that's been in discussion for a very long time. The right way to do a level cap increase has been a topic of much debate internally. For us, the most important piece that we wanted to land was we don't want the level cap to increase. And then all of a sudden, people just sort of get set to their new level. And that's sort of the end of it. we do want the experience to feel a little bit different past level 40 than it has felt up to level 40. So fundamentally, getting to level 41 and beyond is still going to require effort. That's really what levels are intended to display, is how much effort you put into the game. And so that effort economy is still very important to us, but it's not going to be as simple as grinding XP through the ways that you might be used to. So the experience should be a little bit different, and we're excited to announce more of that later this year. So we've still don't know.
I can't wait for them to announce that they're going to allow you to prestige and then give you no sort of benefits for that prestige like they did with Ingress.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do recursion like Ingress has, or prestiging, if it'll be something like that. Or, you know, a lot of people just theorizing because Ingress ties advanced. You know, when Ingress first started, there was only 8 levels, and they brought 8 more levels into the game up to level 16 later on. And you had to get badges in addition to their form of experience or AP in that game. You had to get badges. So could the system be tied to badges? I kind of think you run into the same problem. There's a lot of people that already have gold badges on a lot of stuff. So is it going to be a quest? Is it going to be some type of prestiging system that forces everybody to start over at the same time? I don't know. We have no idea what that's going to look like. One more comment from Matt Sleeman, who says, there's a lot of cool stuff we're planning to do later this year. There's more features, more Pokemon, more events. We do want Pokemon Go that lasts a really long time, and we think part of that real-world appeal is building a game that doesn't just sort of, you finish the game, you fizzle out, and you feel like the game is done. We really do want Pokemon Go to be a game that sort of feels like it's persistent, real, evolving, just like the real world is. So as we move past 2020, the team's going to be spending a little more time on some of the existing features we have today. We've been launching a ton of new features over the last several years, and we want to find that right balance. So making sure the new stuff's coming out and the stuff that you already like is getting better. So as we move forward, there's still a lot to look forward to, and you hope we'll stick with us on that journey. So we'll see what that looks like. But I like that they're talking about going back and making sure the old stuff is polished too. Hell, the gym rework was one of the best things that game ever did. So, you know, if they're going to examine some of the old systems and stuff, maybe they'll make the Team Rocket stuff more interesting for me. I don't know. So I'm excited to hear that. On a somewhat related note, do you remember on last week's show when I talked about my new thing with portal scanning and scanning at graveyards and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So I didn't really scan at graveyards this week because I was trying to do GoFest. I went to the riverfront in West Sacramento because they have all those information boards. And it was like there weren't a lot of kids out. But I was doing portal scanning there. And guess what happened? I ran out of scans because the game limits you to 200 scans every 13 days. I ran out, everybody. I have no more scans available in Ingress. So no graveyard trips for me for a little bit. Hopefully I'll get those back soon. Luckily, I had Pokemon Go to distract me and so forth. So, you know, I'm good for now. And maybe I got some back today. I don't know. I have to go keep checking my – because you can't just see how many scans you have. You have to be in range of a portal. So I need to go over to the closest portal to me and see, like, oh, can I do scans? But, yeah. Yeah, Azette says it's your metagame. It is. Did you know, Azette, because I was telling Pesh this earlier, did you know that on agent stats right now I'm number 2 in the world for scout controller? There's one person who got the jump on me who started sooner. And, you know, it's a res agent, but kudos to them for getting on that early. But I'm proud to be good at something in this life. All right. Moving on. Let's get into another kind of serious topic, an interesting thing that kind of happened on Twitch this week. Right, Logie?
Yeah, more follow-up on more stories we talked about. So last week we talked about how Twitch was banning the army from posting their like fake giveaways and whatnot on Twitch. So, of course, on Twitter, though, it was said that, you know, due to the recent media coverage of fake giveaways and potentially unconstitutional bans, the U.S. Army esports team has paused social activity streaming on Twitch and the official activations with Twitch, including participating in upcoming Twitch Rivals events. So one of the other things that they were criticized for about is that they were banning people that were asking certain questions that they may have been uncomfortable with asking on Twitch. And because the Army is part of the government in the sense that they have First Amendment, I believe, protections where they cannot silence speakers, you know, based on their viewpoint, kind of like how, you know, like the president wouldn't necessarily, or I don't believe the president's supposed to be banning people, or at least
correct.
There's been lawsuits for that.
Jason and I were chatting about this a little bit before the show, and he drew that comparison to when folks sued our president because the president was blocking them on Twitter. Because technically, when you're working for the government and that's a government Twitter account, if I reply to one of the president's tweets and go, fuck you, you fucking fuck, like that's me extending my First Amendment rights. So the president can't block me for that. Twitter can block me for that. Because Twitter's a private company and Twitter can say it's our house and in our house you don't say those things to those kind of people. They can do that. Twitch, so you kind of apply this here. Twitch can remove people from the chat for saying things and Twitch can do those sorts of things. But the army, being a government agency, isn't supposed to be banning people for exercising their First Amendment right, which is fascinating.
Right. And unfortunately, they had nothing to add to that. But I mean, really, what is there to add that they were sort of scamming people into joining the army? I mean, like, how do you whoops, we didn't think we'd get caught.
If you were told that you could have a Twitch channel and get lots of people to watch, but the catch is you can never ban people from your chat room, you might think twice about starting on Twitch. You know what I mean? Like being able to ban people from chat is important. And hell yeah, we did it here last week. You know, we got invaded by, you know, somebody's basement crew and we had to do some bans and, you know, but we, guess what? We're not the government. We're our own company. If you piss us off, we'll ban you. So it's interesting. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Maybe they can go back and make the America's Army a game again. Hey, they could do an America's Army Battle Royale game. There you go. That's hip and trendy.
I think, isn't it also fascinating, though, to hear Twitch and the government, like, in the same breath? Like, it's always fascinating to me to hear about, like, video games in, you know, because as a kid and growing up again, video games weren't mainstream. They were obscure. Yeah. They were for nerds, you know? So it's, like, probably one of the most fascinating things to me ever was when the Supreme Court did that ruling with the California law, how like one of the justices said, like, you know, well, my staff plays Mortal Kombat and they turned out okay. I'm paraphrasing a lot because I obviously don't have it in front of me, but it was just so interesting to hear a Supreme Court justice talking about Mortal Kombat. That's like something like 15-year-old me never would have imagined. You know what I mean? So it's interesting to hear Twitch. And you know, there's a lot of politicians that get on Twitter, and you know, obviously AOC is very well known for having got on some charity streams and so forth. And there's politicians that have participate in video game stuff. It's just interesting to me.
You know, I suggest if they're looking to get away with scams like this, that a good platform to do that on would be Facebook, because they don't seem to want to, you know, monitor their stuff anyways. So they could probably get away with that. Mark
You're
Zuckerberg's
right.
Not gonna
You're
do
right. The army should just go to Facebook Gaming. It'll be perfect.
They should. They're already, you know, why not?
All right. Moving on. One more story for you guys tonight. And this has to do with some things that have leaked out from Nintendo. And you may remember a couple months ago we were talking about that, like, Nintendo's like console source code was leaked. Like somebody got into Nintendo servers and leaked information. Well, now there's even more that's out there leaking, and on a very popular forum out there, Reset Era, an anonymous posting started to, I'm sorry, I guess maybe 4chan was involved too, because, you know, all this kind of stuff usually involves them somehow. But there's a lot of, you can approach this with some skepticism, right? Like, you can fake screenshots, you can fake even videos. It's easy to make deep fakes and stuff. But I don't know. There's some interesting stuff here where I'm like, if somebody faked this, it was really a wasted effort. And what I'm talking about is like a Super Mario Kart version that's a prototype where like the tracks are kind of missing. Like they're in the bottom half of the screen, but not the top half. But the title screen music is completely different. Or some early versions of Super Mario World Yoshi's Island, which in the earliest title screen was apparently called Super Mario Brothers 5. where a lot of the kind of layout of the screen looked very different, and it almost like you could see some stuff looked very different. Act Deft in chat says Beta Yoshi and L is real. Fifth Dream says all of this is the same leak, which is funny. I'd have no patience and could drop it all at once. So Dark Tetsuya says you can't swing a broken joystick on Twitter without finding a ton of this stuff. And yeah, so there's a lot of a Super Mario World prototype that had some a very different looking Mario in it. It looked very, very different, almost like it might have been a different game or a different property at some point. So yeah, there's all sorts of stuff out there on Twitter that's floating around. A different character in Star Fox 2 at one point who is human. Yeah, so it's kind of neat. Like, you know, it's one of the things where like, huh, this is kind of interesting to imagine what these games could have been. But at the same time, some of the people who worked on those games, not happy about this because this kind of stuff was never meant for public consumption. But you know something else I saw online recently that this kind of reminded me of? You ever follow the show Quantum Leap, which was like a great show in the 80s on NBC, right? It was awesome, yeah. Right? So Scott Bakula plays a guy who leaps from one home to another. Well, one body to another and ends up in these different stories of the week. The show didn't have a great ending because they didn't know that the show was going to be ending. So it was like kind of one of those everything was summed up in two title cards at the end of the series. Well, people swore for years that there was like alternate footage that exists where they actually shot like a different ending that didn't make it to air. And I think the director or one of the creative minds behind the show said and emphasized, this doesn't exist. You guys are making it up. Well, guess what popped up on Reddit a couple weeks ago? Somebody found the footage. And it looks really bad because it's, you know, 30-year-old, you know, video footage. But it's up there on Reddit, and sure enough, there's this alternate ending that was shot but just wasn't aired for, you know, whatever creative reason, the fact that the show got canceled at the last minute and all this stuff. So the reason why I bring up that analogy is, you know, kind of bringing it back to where we started tonight. There's a lot of commonplace between the film industry and the game industry. And even though the game industry kind of doesn't like that a lot of these demos and early products kind of get shown after the fact, you know what? Fans, they want to see it. They want to see those audition tapes for different actors that were supposed to be a Han Solo or stuff. Didn't like one of those Star Wars releases show like different actors screen testing things? Or was it The Office had like different actors and actresses screen testing for different parts where it was like the girl from 24 reading for Pam? And it just looks like completely different, you know, things like that.
Well, they also did like the parody stuff on Saturday Night Live with that's the different.
That's different, but yeah. Yeah. All right. SSJ100 Matt says, so there is still hope for the Sinbad Genie movie being real. That's a different thing. But maybe, I don't know. DJ Rama S says, hey, Quantum Leap wasn't canceled. It became Star Trek Enterprise and now NCIS New Orleans. Thank you. And Crystal Skies 80 says, there is a documentary with all the screen tests for Star Wars. I thought that was a thing I saw. Oh, a great comparison by Tiger Claw. The Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie, right? Fans have been clamoring and wanting that for a long time. And now they're going to get it on HBO Max because of all this pandemic stuff. It's like we're having a hard time making new content. So let's give the old content people want. Fascinating. Very, very interesting. So anyway, you just can't hide some of the stuff that people really want to see. All right. Mm-hmm. I would say to those old developers, you know what? Make the most of it and give us interviews. Tell us why things changed. Why did you go a different direction? What was the intent in things? You know, like, let's hear more about it. I don't know. Anyway.
Or like even like I like those the GDC talks and stuff where they talk about like game development and different things like that. So it'd be cool to find out like some of these things.
SG100 Matt talks about Back to the Future shot a good chunk of the movie with someone else playing Marty McFly. Yes, that's a big thing that's pretty well known in Hollywood. And of course, now in the moment, I can't remember for the life of me who the original actor was. But I think it was one of those things where they kind of wanted Michael J. Fox and then he wasn't available. And it really wasn't working out with the actor that they got. And then suddenly Michael J. Fox was available. So they kind of thank you, Eric Stoltz. Thank you. Yeah, that was because I believe. again, Back to the Future came out on Blu-ray at some point, and you can actually watch some of the scenes. Voyager Blu-ray, which is out there, has the screens test with Genevieve Bujold. Is that her name? It has, like, the first day of shooting, because Kate Mulgrew was not originally Janeway. It was that other – I think she's French-Canadian or something, Genevieve Bujold. I might be messing up her name. But you can actually see her on set as – I think the character was Michelle Janeway in the beginning. And you can actually see some scenes with her in it. And it does read a little bit awkward. It reads pretty awkward. I can see why they changed it. So anyway, Crystal Skies says he's still in the movie too in one scene. Oh, I didn't know that. And Johnny Wufei says, I loved Eric Stoltz in Caprica. So, you know, he worked out at the end of the day. So anyway, yeah, Bobby Blackwell says they wanted Fox, but the studio didn't think he could lead. Huh? Interesting. Interesting. All right. Anyway, it's listener roundtable, so that's why I keep like looking at chat, because if you guys have anything you want us to talk about, by all means, please speak up in our chat room. But otherwise, I'll look to Loki to see if there's any last minute stories for tonight.
Yeah, there was one thing. So a brand new modded Zelda game has come out. So The Legend of Zelda: The Missing Link, and it is a mod it's a brand new game that's been made in the Ocarina of Time engine. So it's set between Ocarina and Majora's Mask, and it's supposed to be like kind of a brand new game with different characters and stuff, but it's still pretty similar to those. But you can download it, because see, they did the proper thing. If you're going to release a fan game for Nintendo, you release it when it's done, so they can't do anything about it. I mean, they can see and D it, but it's already out there. That's it.
Once it's out there, it's out there. That's all you got, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. DJ Roma S. Okay, so I brought up in chat talking about the you know that show in the UK, the IT Crowd, that was pretty well. Yeah, it was. Have you tried turning it off and then on again? Like that whole thing comes from that, right? They actually did an American version of that. They did like a pilot episode. It's on YouTube. Go look for it. It's the IT Crowd US, because Joel McHale played a part in it. They had the same guy. Richard Ayoade, is that his name? Who like hosted the Crystal Maze at one point? I think that's his name. They had him in that pilot as well. So, yeah. And Crystal Sky says it's so bad. It really is. There's some very fascinating TV pilots on YouTube. There was an Elvira TV show, because you know I love Elvira. They did a pilot for an Elvira TV show. And it's her, and her playing her mom is Mona from Who's the Boss. Catherine Helmond, I think, was her name. She passed away a few years ago. But yeah, Mona from Who's the Boss played her mom. And it's not a great pilot, but I would have lived for an Elvira TV show. Clarissa, The Adult Years. I don't remember what they ended up calling it, but Melissa Joan Hart legit was in an ABC pilot where she was playing Clarissa taking a job in journalism, and like there's a whole pilot for that online somewhere too.
There's a show or a YouTube series that I like watching, which I think is called Kill the Pilot or something like that, and it's talking about these failed pilots that they did for different shows. You should go check it out. It's actually pretty cool. I think that's what it's called. Look it up.
The one I would have loved to see is they did a pilot for a Dark Shadows reboot. Dark Shadows, of course, being the epic vampire soap opera from like the 1960s and 70s, which had a reboot on NBC in 1988, I think, or maybe it was the early 90s. I think it was 91, maybe. They had like a reboot on NBC that was really good, but it was only like one season, so it got cut short. So this was before the Tim Burton movie, so which is based on all that too, but it's like really compressed and everything. That apparently the WB did a pilot for a new Dark Shadows, and I was really sad it didn't end up happening, because I thought that could have been awesome. So yeah. Oh, you have that. Is that Dark Shadows reboot pilot on YouTube? I haven't thought to look at it for a long time. DJ Rama S in chat says, I know you love game shows, but do you follow Wink Martindale's YouTube channel? He posts pilots of game shows on there. Yes, I have seen it before. You can actually see Whammy, the Pressure Luck reboot that they did in the early 2000s. that didn't end up being that great. Like this new version they have with Elizabeth Banks hosting is much better because it keeps a lot of that cheese ball stuff from the 80s. But they actually did a version of Whammy. So the guy who ended up hosting it, beat out Peter Tamarkin, who hosted the original. So there's actually the pilot of Peter Tamarkin hosting Whammy is on YouTube. And I think that's on Wing Martindale's channel, actually. So that's kind of fun to watch. So, yeah. DJ Rama S says, don't forget the reboot of The Munsters as 1313 Mockingbird Lane. I thought they actually aired that as a TV movie. Like, they didn't order it to a series, but they aired it as a movie. Because I remember when I went to Universal Studios, like, right around the time that was set to debut. And because I remember they made it a point to say, and this is the house that's used in the upcoming Munsters reboot, 1313 Mockingbird Lane. And I was kind of like, they're rebooting The Munsters? That's interesting.
I'm sorry.
And then it, like, didn't happen.
To correct the series name, so it's on YouTube. It's called The Pilot is Dead. And it's talking about a lot of these dead pilots that they shot, and I know that there's one, I think, for the Clarissa adult series where she's a grown up or something. There was I know I've watched that one too. Yeah, Clarissa Now, it's episode it. 9 on there.
Oh, nice. And there's another pilot. So sometimes pilots just become TV movies. That happened with Cruel Intentions. So the third direct-to-video Cruel Intentions movie was a Fox pilot. They were going to turn Cruel Intentions into a series. It didn't happen. One of my favorite movies ever, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. There's a really terrible movie that they put on Fox Family Channel. That was actually a Romy and Michelle TV pilot with what's her name from Grey's Anatomy that has a reputation for not being very easy to work with. She like did one or two movies. She left Grey's Anatomy to do a movie career that didn't really end up going anywhere because she has a reputation for not being the nicest person. She was in that. She played either Romy or Michelle, and that pilot didn't end up getting picked up either. So I can't remember her name. That's it. Thank you.
The blonde haired girl?
Thank you, Riley Schuyler. Katherine Heigl. That's right. That's who it was.
Oh, Katherine Heigl.
Yeah.
That's who I was thinking.
Yeah. So. Sorry, I don't know her personally. I've heard she doesn't have a great, or at least at that time, didn't have a great reputation. Maybe she's turned it around since then. I don't know. All right. Well, if that's it for last minute stories, then I guess that's going to do it for tonight's show. Hey, it was a great show tonight. We had a great discussion there at the beginning of the show and lots of great topics, lots of exciting stuff going on in the industry and more to come. You know, we haven't heard the last from Microsoft on Xbox Series X. We know there's still going to be more from Sony on PlayStation 5, such as, you know, date and price and all that good stuff. And of course, more games. Nintendo. A lot of pressure to announce, like, what the hell's coming next, Nintendo, from you guys, like, first party. So in the coming weeks, I'm sure we're going to get answers to all of this. So it's going to be a very interesting time in gaming as we move into the end of the year. I'm sorry, I have to read this comment from Pixel Pacas in chat. Related to soap operas, there's a Passions documentary coming. I fucking loved Passions. Passions was like the dark shadow of the night. We used to watch that shit in college because it was so bad, you guys, but like so bad it was kind of good because like it used like, what was it? Like there was literally a plot line where like the gypsy woman or whatever, she was supposed to be the mystic lady or whatever, tied somebody to the railroad tracks. And she had to like get off the, like, it's really cheesy stuff. And it was like so bad it was good. I loved Passions. It was great. Yeah, Tabitha and Timmy. And then Timmy died. So they replaced Timmy with like a female character, I believe, if I remember right. So, I mean, there's some really problematic stuff in that show that wouldn't hold up all these years later. But at the time, it was something else. It was a trip. More soap operas should have been like that, to be quite honest. But I guess at the same time, on Days of Our Lives, you did have that whole Marlene Got Possessed storyline. Don't you follow soap operas, Loki?
The most I ever watched soap operas was either on The Soup when they were recapping those.
Which was always Passions. It was always Passions they were recapping.
Yeah, or it was always on TV at my grandparents or my sitter's house, like when I was a kid, All My Children. And so I picked up a lot of that stuff just from being in the rooms with that stuff. But like, I don't know, there's way too many twins on that show, so I don't get it.
All right. All right. Let's go around and get final thoughts. Thanks to Delvin for being on the show tonight, kicking us off. And thanks, of course, to Shane for jumping in there in the middle as well to catch us up on Suikoden's spiritual successor. And thanks to all you guys for listening tonight, whether it was live or whether you listen on the podcast feed like some of our emailers this week. You can always drop us an email, participate@orangelaunchradio.com. And if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices here participating with the show so we can get them out on air. Tell a friend or two about the show. An auto host on Twitch goes a real long way. Love those. Even just a tweet or a social media shout out, we love those too. A 5-star review on iTunes, sharing the Spotify link, all that stuff is great. Okay, let's get final thoughts. We're running out of things to say. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is that I have to build a mansion now.
Good luck with that. My final thought is I look forward to just playing some more games this week and some more sandbox games I'm going to explore. Probably doing some No Man's Sky. I did a live stream last night, which was my first gaming live stream in probably like 6 months. I kind of missed it, so I need to do that more often. And thank you to those of you guys that came out for that as well. I know it was kind of late night, so... that's it. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you again in 7 days. Thanks so much for being here and supporting the show. Your support really does mean the world and has kept us going for 18 years and then some. So we'll see you again in 7 days. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.